InfoWars. Tomorrow's news, today.
Another thing that your administration is trying to tackle, many Americans, the average age of first-time home buyers are now up to age 40, which is sad. The country you and
I
grew up
inherited
in.
That. Look, you have to understand.
Right, but let me get to the question, though, because your housing director has proposed something that has enraged your MAGA friends, which is this 50-year mortgage idea. So a significant MAGA backlash, calling it a giveaway to the banks and simply prolonging the time it would take for Americans to own a home outright. Is that really a good idea?
It's not even a big deal. I mean, you know, you go from 40 to 50 years. And what it means is you pay something less from 30. That some people had a 40, and then now they have a 50. All it means is you pay less per month. You pay it over a longer period of time. It's not like a big factor. It might help a little bit. But the problem was that Biden did this. He increased the interest rates. And I have a lousy Fed person who's going to be gone in a few months.
Yeah. 50-year mortgages look kind of loan sharky. The issue is we have systemic global inflation. Trump's very frustrated trying to get the housing market going. So he's being criticized for all of that. And he's being criticized for the importation of Chinese students. And he's being criticized for having the leader of Al-Qaeda, the dictator of Syria at the White House. And he's being criticized for food prices not being down enough. The truth is, Trump's been able to get energy prices lowered, but with all the different factors involved, he is fighting major headwinds. And so I'll criticize things Trump could do better or things that could be better all day long, and we do. We just have to also realize he's battling a lot of forces that are trying to stop this recovery, and that if he fails, we're going into a systemic, designed, long-term, post-industrial austerity or planned global reset to build back better of a absolute planetary totalitarian technocracy hell system. I mean, it's just indescribably bad. You've seen their plan. You see their statements. It's just hellish. So it is very popular to just attack Trump constantly. And a lot of people do it from a good place of criticism, like MTG or myself, and the media acts like we hate Trump and then misrepresents what's going on. And Trump got asked about it yesterday and said, I don't know what's wrong with her now. I like her, but maybe she's putting on an act. And then I don't think he's even actually seen the things she said about him. She talks about all the good stuff and then says, I love Trump, but he's got some bad people in there. And the DOJ's not moving quick enough. And then she'll run through the issues that I totally agree with. So there's also that going on. But if you look at our live show headline today, it deals with the fact that a lot of people are in the Trump movement at the grassroots and up through to the top are impatient and are upset. Tuesday Live, Trump gets massive backlash over Chinese student importation, 50-year mortgages, lack of domestic focus. That's what people say. It's a lot of domestic focus. It's all about bringing the jobs back. Meeting with the leader of Al-Qaeda, plus Dems cave on Gov shutdown and anti-officially attacks TPUSA despite Trump designating group as a domestic terror organization. Also, big military developments in Russia and Ukraine, with Venezuela, with Israel, with China. Albert Bourla's made an insane statement, and he's made a lot of them. Wait till you hear this. Oh, yeah, Laura Ingraham taking Trump to the woodshed. We've got just massive news. We have the beginning of the end of the shutdown. It's all coming up today. Stay with us. It is Tuesday, November 11th, 2025. I'm your host, Alex Jones, coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, broadcasting worldwide. All right, Dinesh D'Souza is coming on the show. I admire Dinesh D'Souza. I've watched his work since I was 10 years old, and went to Republican rallies that he and Reagan spoke at. And 95% of the things he supports, I support. And he's a great filmmaker and done such great work. But I do disagree with him on total and complete commitment to whoever happens to be in power in Israel. And my position on Israel is not some guarded dog whistle, and I really hate Israel, I want to blow it up, and, you know, side with the Muslims, God no. My issue is I don't like it being the main focus of this country. And for a lot of people on the left that absolutely foam at the mouth and hate Israel, and the people on the right who worship Israel, and on the right, you call it that, that are obsessed with it. And then the way the Israel lobby viciously attacks anybody that doesn't stand up on its back flippers like a seal and bark whatever the orders are. And Israel, with Netanyahu, who's been around off and on in power since 1996, it's 30 years, 29 years, is definitely making a move on the Republican Party. And it's been failing. So now they're trying to drive a wedge and make the issue, along with the left, who's almost completely anti-Israel. But then they'll still run back and say, oh, look, the Republicans are anti-Semitic, anti-Israel now. And they're all teaming up with the neocons, Ben Shapiro, and the other usual suspects. It's dangerous. And they're trying to dictate, you know, who can have all, who on, and we're going to destroy you, and we're making lists, and we're going to deplatform you, and we're coming for you. And Tucker's a fox in the hen house who needs to be neutralized. These are quotes by Josh Hammer and Mark Levin and the rest of them. It's obnoxious, it's anti-American, and it sounds like the left. And J.P. Sears has the best boil down of this. It's only about 4 minutes long, but we should play that for D'Souza when he comes on. And that perfectly describes where I'm at. And also, Israel's not going anywhere. So I'm pragmatic. Plus, I don't want Israel destroyed. And I can see multiple moves up as the whole world continues turning against Israel. This is going to lead to some cataclysmic stuff. And so I'm going to just point blank, because I've had D'Souza on before when he debated Nick Fuentes. I know I'm going to get hit with all the talking points. I'm just going to go, D'Souza, you're not stupid. Cut the crap. All right. Think where this goes out in the future. The Israel neocon right-wing lobby has lied us into all these wars, which D'Souza admits, big part of it. Pentagon, you know, we got our own share of neocons over here that, you know, some Jewish, some not. But the point is that Netanyahu and his crew are right in the middle of it. And people are sick of it. And then trying to destroy Tucker Carlson just smacks of desperation. And I can tell you, nobody's buying it. Not just on X. I went and looked on Instagram, YouTube, everywhere. 95% of the comments are, what the hell are you doing? So Napoleon said, don't interrupt your enemy while they're making a mistake. Well, Israel's not my enemy. And I love peace, and I love justice, and I love a future where we all don't kill each other. So I love Israel. And I love China. And I love North Korea. I don't love their governments. I love America. I don't love our government. So I don't want to watch Israel self-harm anymore. And that's what this is. And, man, when you got poster child spokespersons like Hammer, Levin, and the insufferable Ben Shapiro, just so full of hubris. I guess they have their name for it in Yiddish. Chutzpah. I just can't handle it. So, and this is happening, but we need American Jews to come out and speak out against this. And I'm talking about populist right-wing Jews, not the self-hating leftist pro-Islam commie Jews. There's plenty of those. No, I'm not talking about those people, God almighty. They'll lower the drawbridge down and destroy us all, you know, with Islam. That's the thing. We're navigating a bunch of big problems here. We got to get sophisticated. And I'm sorry, if people want to show that worships Israel, you got the wrong place. They want to broadcast that wants to blow up Israel or push everybody in the ocean, you got the wrong place. Looking for a broadcast that wants to murder all the Gazans and all, and I've got Israeli news defending again their military raping people and members of the Knesset saying they deserve it. Man, if you got evil thoughts like that, keep it to yourself. I mean, I got really, I mean, if I want to hurt Israel, let me tell you, I can go to town with what's coming out of the mouths of people in the so-called right-wing leadership of Israel. I mean, you people are foaming at the mouth. You sound as bad as the Muslims, the worst of them. So, I mean, I've seen on Palestinian TV, I played lots of clips where like they have the women on there saying, when we occupy Israel, we will rape all the women because under the Quran, they deserve to be raped and they are, you know, for what they've done. And so they will be our slaves because they are, and I play the clip. And then I got Jews saying the same stuff. It's like lunatic asylum behavior. In fact, if I want to pull those clips up, I will just devastate D'Souza with it. You've all seen it. I mean, the thing is, there's new ones every day. Here's my thing. I don't even want to look at it. But because it's now front and center, damaging the Republican Party, damaging the MAGA movement, damaging us trying to deal with China and secure the Republic and secure the damn economy for the future and our culture, then I'm forced to come in intellectually and take things to the next level for people. But all Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin care about is being all over the news and igniting as big a controversy as they can and going after the First Amendment and threatening people because it elevates them in their collapsing neocon right-wing dinosaur dig. Or, you know, like La Brea tar pits, they go find mummified woolly mammoths and saber-tooth tigers in there. I mean, you guys inhabit a political mausoleum. And like the old Dracula movies, where they find Dracula, he's been, you know, destroyed, been burned up, they got his ashes, so they kill a woman and dump her blood in on top of it, and then he kind of reconstitutes and Dracula comes back. I mean, that's literally Shapiro and Levin down in their political tomb with Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld, and they're just hoping to have a big political bloodletting so they can feast on it and somehow reconstitute themselves. And don't come at me with, oh, an anti-Semitic dog whistle. No, that my analogy is 100% what it is about trying to get a blood transfusion back into yourself. I use the vampire analogy for everybody. But, I mean, that's where we are. And they are in their mausoleum with the Crypt Keeper, Dick Cheney, and they know their audiences are shrunk to nothing, and they're all going literally going bankrupt. And not like me with the Democrats spending hundreds of millions of dollars to shut us down and rig courts because we're so popular and so successful. And we're going 24 hours a day and hiring all these reporters and we're number one in the world. No. You're going bankrupt because your listeners and viewers have turned on you and are sick of you. So let me stop. That's in the third hour. I'm going to stop spending time on that. An hour is enough today. I just blew 10 minutes on. I apologize. Or 5 minutes. That Stuart Rhodes is going to be in studio, supposedly the J6 mastermind, when they never showed one piece of evidence. And now we see all the evidence coming out of what we already had pieces of. We had most of the pieces, but now the final pieces are there of how they staged the whole deal. The deep state, the Democrats, that's coming up today. But I've got all this other incredible news I want to just blitz through in the next hour and 44 minutes before Dinesh D'Souza comes on with us. And then there's also a lot of breaking news. And when I go after Trump today, It is from a place of helping him, not undermining what he's doing overall, but little course corrections. And every time I do this, the media misrepresents it, takes out of context, says I'm attacking, but you know what I really said. And a lot of you will hear this critique, and you'll think, well, that's a defense. Well, exactly. I understand from a pragmatic position why he does everything he does. I understand how his brain works. I understand his world map. It's very pragmatic. It's pro-human. It's very fair. But he's missing some pieces of things. And that's where he gets caught up in all of this. And here's an example. The former global head of Al-Qaeda was at the White House yesterday with Trump, met by big Islamic groups when he got there, big crowds. He is a dictator. And the day before, he's playing basketball with the, you know, with the top generals, CENTCOM. And then he's doing, you know, this tour with the former head of the CIA, Petraeus, and the rest of it. And I could spend the next hour on this. I could spend 5 hours on it. I mean, it's, I know this stuff up one side and down the other. And I know why Trump's doing what he's doing. I understand all the pieces. And Trump is not the one that did this. Right before he got in, the U.S. with Israel and Turkey and NATO overthrew Assad, who was a dictator. But compared to this guy, is an angel kick. And they're on record committing mass genocide, this current guy. I can show you hours of video of them just lining up, mainly men, but also women and children, and just machine gunning them and piles of dead bodies. And then I noticed the some of the, even the pro-Trump people and pro-Israel people, because it's when it comes to the Middle East, it's you know, kind of the same constellation of people attacking a video I shot last night, just showing some of the history with him on a most wanted FBI poster. You know, that's the president, the dictator of Syria. And they're like, Grok, is he really engaged in massacres? And is he really the former head of Al-Qaeda? And I'll show you. And Grok's like, well, there have been some big massacres. And, you know, but he was Al-Qaeda, but he wasn't the head of Al-Qaeda. There was no head of Al-Qaeda in the last 6, 7, 8 years. But I read the policy reports around the world. I knew who was backing him. I knew Israel and MI6 were. And he was recognized as the most popular, most charismatic leader in Al-Qaeda and led Al-Qaeda forces in Syria and Iraq. Al-Qaeda was even kicked out of Afghanistan. So where's the two places Al-Qaeda could operate? Iraq and Syria. So he's the leader of Al-Qaeda in two powerful populist, large population Muslim countries. He's recognized in many publications as the de facto leader. It's a movement. But Grok says Jones is wrong. He's not the leader of Al-Qaeda. Well, I don't need some damn AI to tell me what something is. He's a frickin' carbon copy of Osama bin Laden. His real name wasn't even known until recently, and who knows if that's even right. And the West has this long history of backing these people. So then people say, what the hell is going on here? And I'll break it down. And I mean, look at this. He was the poster child for Al-Qaeda. Now, as soon as the CIA and MI6 and others who were already backing Al-Qaeda forever started officially backing him, he had to say a few years ago, well, I'm no longer Al-Qaeda. Yeah, you just fly the same flags, have the same leaders. He's got people in the Syrian government who were top aides to Osama bin Laden. I mean, this is the OGs, folks. Because this guy's like, 8 feet tall or whatever, and somewhat charismatic and looks good in a suit. MI6 chose him to be the new leader. And by the way, MI6 has been running this with Turkey. The MI6 bragged about it. I have a video of the CIA at a State Department meeting just a few months ago bragging about how they went and got it and did a rehab of him. You want to see it? I got the video coming up. So here's my problem. I have like 30 or 40 exhibits just on this. So I don't want to hear it from dumbasses out there that, oh, he's not really the leader of Al-Qaeda, you know, all this crap. Please save it. So this is pure 1984, where one day you're always at war with this group, the next day you're not. But the truth is, from the time of Zbigniew Brzezinski, even before that, Operation Ajax, 1953, in Iran, MI6, British intelligence, ran the Middle East, folks. They created most of the countries and borders that are there today. Lawrence of Arabia, you know, made a movie out of it. Makes it all cute and fun. About taking over Syria again. The last time they did it. And the Ba'athists fought them 40-something years later and got control. And then the Assads have been in since then. And, you know, it's called history. And so the British globalist system just got back control of something and hasn't had control of for 71 years. That's a historical just a fact. And they use, just like they did in the time of Lawrence of Arabia, British intelligence, a Saudi Arabian Wahhabist-backed army to do it. And because Trump is heavily allied with Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia is reforming, and Saudi Arabia did kill the wing of the Saudi royals and imprisoned the rest that actually were funding jihad and al-Qaeda. They're playing a double game. At least Trump believes that. Now because Trump's big buddies with the crown prince, and he likes this guy, and MI6 likes it, it was already done before Trump got in. He's like, fine, let's hope it works. Let's see what happens, but stop murdering everybody. You know, he says to the leader of al-Qaeda, now the dictator. And you even had a Rubio a few months ago say, there'll probably be a civil war in a few months, and Syria will probably need regime change again. So they're even telling you this might not work out, but right now they're acting like it is and taking the sanctions off, and then you've got the former leader of al-Qaeda going and meeting with the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank so they can now be put under the bankers. I mean, we could spend hours. Because if you understand this, I don't want to just make the Middle East the focus, but we have to because we're being sucked into it. If you understand this, you understand how it works all over the world. So this is a Rosetta Stone, a real keyhole into how it works. So I just covered this some. When I get to it later, we'll take what I just said and train it up, hook it up, sandwich it up with what I'm going to get into later with the actual clips I just mentioned. So you know what I do. I kind of give you a big picture and then tell you the clips and the stuff. Then I show you everything I said. Oh, here's this or that. Unlike corporate media, Donald Trump says the KKK are wonderful people. Where's the clip? Doesn't exist. Al Schultz peed on kids' graves. Nobody did. Doesn't exist. Show it to me. Oh, sorry, can't. Al Schultz is able to harass people's families. Oh, show me. Oh, didn't exist. When I tell you something, I show you. So I'll get to more of that later. Republicans face Jeffrey Epstein reckoning as end of shutdown looms. We're going to get to that. But the first thing I want to hit is what you can't physically see, but you see the manifestations of in the footprints everywhere. And that is Ephesians 6:12, and it's all over the Old and New Testament. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Tucker Carlson came out and talked about demonic attack. I know all the inside stuff, but you never told me not to tell, so I think I'm going to go ahead and just say it all. And all these fake Christians that are really Christian Zionists are attacking him now, saying, that's not in the Bible. How dare you say this? You're crazy. Really? You see in the videos they're posted on X, it's like half the comments are like, you're crazy. There's got demons attacking people. Really? You read the Bible ever, Dumbo? Demons jump out of the man and jump in the pigs. I'll run off the cliff. What's your name? We are Legion. So this is really at the heart of all this. So you want hardcore reality? I'll give it to you when we come back. Now, before we go to break, it was so popular and people loved it so much. And but this is it. We are extending the buy one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid tincture that is, you've seen the rave reviews, game changing. Buy one bottle, get one free, extended for Veterans Day until tomorrow night at midnight, 48 hours, and that's it. Because I was here this morning cutting an ad for the new sale. Every order, let's pull up the website if we can and do a little zoom in on this. I'm going to show them. Every order at thealexjonesstore.com gets a free, high-quality Richardson murdered out black on black trucker hat. And I can tell you, these hats cost them like $14 a piece. I mean, that's a nice, you pay $35 in a store for that. Okay. And it's murdered out. It is awesome. It's collectible too, because it's close to sitting on InfoWars. And every order of anything, other t-shirts, other supplements, get one of these. And then I was like, you know what? It's Veterans Day. I called up Bigley and I said, can we do the methylene blue for two more days? They said, it's about to sell out, but more's coming in about 3 weeks. Okay, sure, whatever. And they're great. I'm not officially the boss, but they listen to me. So you've got that buy one, get one free and a free hat on top of it. That's a lost leader right there. But only for 48 hours to celebrate Veterans Day to thank our veterans. All right, first off, I want to be very clear as a learned man of history, books, but more importantly of the street, that when you get around extremely rich and powerful people, they are all extremely spiritual, and the really good ones are Christians, and the bad ones are into the occult. And there's different variants of that where they think they control it. They're not really with the devil, but they know there's different forces, and they're using both. And you study Solomon in the Old Testament, King David's son, King Solomon, who the Bible basically says isn't even sure that didn't basically go to hell because of all the things he was involved in, including human sacrifice. And you read the whole Bible, and it's all these cultures sacrificing children in different ways. And then they dig up the archaeological sites, and it's all there. It all happened. It all went on. And it went on in Europe. It went on with the Druids. It went on in Mesoamerica with the Mayan cultures and the Aztecs that came out of it. And it went on in the Spartans and different Greek groups, the Egyptians. There was human sacrifice in ancient China. All over Africa, continuing today, exact same stuff. So whatever you want to believe this is, or wherever you want to think it comes from, the Bible in the Old Testament and New Testament describes over and over again how different kingdoms and systems would get under the control of priest class, who by increment would then twist them until finally they were building altars to Moloch and other gods and sacrificing children in different ways to them. What do you think went on at Stonehenge, boys and girls? The word bonfire, you think, means just a big outdoor fire. No, it's a druidic bone fire. Burning Man. Got the movie in the 60s where the sacrifice calls for a pure, good, heroic man. There's different types of sacrifices. The Druids had it for kids, you name it. But sometimes the Druidic priests, this is in the history books, would demand the king give his son, the prince, to be killed. So did the Aztecs. They would sometimes demand the king give up his family. It's about the priest class having total control. So they trick him to go out to this, you know, area, a remote area, on the British Isles, and he thinks he's in the movie, The Wicker Man. He thinks he's saving a kidnapped girl, but really, they want him. And they put him in a wicker man and they burn him. That's an actual ritual. Written about by the Romans, they observed. And so this has been going on in all of human recorded history by everybody. And it's right below the surface. And you look at the open Satanism, the open pedophilia, and you look at all the open evil going on. Those are the footprints of this. But Tucker Carlson was just a mainline, milquetoast Anglican and wasn't even sure God was real. And he was on record, you know, 15, 20 years ago saying that. Then he began to awaken politically, became anti-war about 15 years ago, apologized, and has been consistent ever since. And has now totally turned against the establishment, has gotten super hardcore awake. And then about 3 years ago, I'm talking to some of his producers that called me, sharing guest ideas, information, running stories by me, seeing what I thought of things. I mean, Tucker talked quite a bit. But I saw his producers, and they said, listen, you need to talk to Tucker about this. He wants to talk to you about it in person. About a month ago, when he was at his house in Maine, out on the island, he's got a little island, he literally got attacked by a black shadow that bloodied him, his back, the front of him, everything. And until he cried out to Jesus, he couldn't even breathe. You know, I thought he was going to die. And then and this person I was talking to said, listen, I've not even been a Christian. I'm agnostic. He said, I didn't even tell Tucker about this. But and then he talked about his demonic attack a few weeks before that. And they started talking to the rest of the staff, and some of the others were also attacked. So now the top of Drudge, Tucker Carlson, even before I saw this is new, I was going to cover this scene. Tucker Carlson draws scorn for new details of demonic attack, the claw marks, the bloody sheets. Now notice when I've talked about this, the corporate media doesn't pick it up. I have had my experiences. I've not told you all of them. Because quite frankly, it's embarrassing. Let's just say, have you seen Conan the Barbarian? She says there's a price, Barbarian. To know, you know, who the symbol of the snake eating itself and, you know, who killed his parents. And she says there's a price, and the price is to have sex with her. And then she literally turns into a demon while he's having sex with her. Yeah, that's happened to me. And I mean, scarier than Linda Blair. And it's happened four times. Four. Four different women in my life. Now, there's another time. I remember we were going to see Rambo 3. I'm like 11 years old. It's like noon. I've been out swimming in the morning and then playing golf on the golf course. We live on a golf course. And I come in, my dad goes, hurry up. You want to go see this movie? We're going to see it. We're going to drive into Townies Mall and watch it in Mesquite. I still remember. And I go, okay, let me get a Gatorade or whatever it was, out of the refrigerator. And I walk in to the kitchen. I open the refrigerator. And I hear this, bleh! Don't see anything. And something grabs me and slams me up against the wall and then throws me onto the ceiling. I hit the ground, get up, walk out, get in the truck with my dad, drive into the movie theater, and about halfway through, he knew I was a tough kid. He goes, are you okay? And I said, no, man, I'm just in total pain. My shoulder, I hurt my shoulder. And we had to leave the movie, and he owned a little hospital clinic nearby, not just his dental office. We go in there, the doctor's there, they check it. Yeah, your arm's out of socket. They do a maneuver, jam the son of a bitch back in. And I never told that story until a few years ago. It happened. I don't know what it was or what was going on in Rockwall, Texas at noon on a Saturday or Sunday, or I think it was a Saturday, as we went to church. It was to be a Saturday. It happened. I didn't see a black shadow. I wasn't on drugs. I'd been swimming and playing golf. You know, I used to get up real early. Had a beautiful day. And that's what happened. So I talked to Tucker about it later. And he said, sometime we're in person, I'll tell you about it. So a couple years ago, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, whenever it was, I'm up there in Maine, and we're in his lodge. We're at his studio, and they're grilling steaks, and Lexi makes this incredible, his producer, apple pie, and it's all wonderful. We're sitting there at this big, long table, and I'm sitting up there near the head with him, and they're not listening to us talk. And people should ask Tucker, this happened. This is why he says the most extraordinary person he's ever met. And I'm not saying I'm the most extraordinary person around. I'm just saying he's never had this happen. And he starts saying, I was flying back here about 4 days ago, or wherever, 2-4 days away. I remember what he said. But he said, I was flying back last week, and I was thinking about this demonic attack that happened like 11 months ago. And I couldn't figure it out. And I was looking through my camera roll on my phone, and I felt this feeling that I get, you've seen before. When I go, Trump will announce he's won at 127. Said like at 10 o'clock at night, he announced at 127. I didn't think to ask, when I was being given information, like what time zone. More and more, and I'm getting where I just go ahead and do it. I set him up before they try to kill Trump at Butler. He's just cancel all outdoor events. They're going to try to kill him. It's imminent, emergency, you know. They're going to use surface air missiles as well. A month after that, they were hyping surface air missiles. I mean, I'm dialed in, folks. I mean, I get like, wake up, go turn your phone on. It's going to be exactly this time, like over and over again. I'm like, pay attention to what you're being told. Listen. And with all the chatter and, you know, the rat race they keep us in, all of you are having these same things happen. The spirit world's more real. We just see a limited spectrum of what's going on in the third dimension. We don't even see the whole third dimension, not to mention all the other dimensions. It's all been mathematically proven. And so I feel this feeling. I know it's not me. And I go, don't tell your story. We'll tell it in pieces. I want you to see this. And I would say, someone laid hands on you. This was energetic. Remember, he just said, I was looking at my camera roll, and I saw this person. And I went, hold on. I said, I'm going to tell you this in pieces so that you understand that this isn't like some fortune teller and I'm, you know, you're giving me enough to figure it out. I said, somebody laid hands on you before this happened. He goes, hey, you've seen a lot of Tucker faces and stuff. That's all real. That's how he acts behind the scenes. But he was just like, oh, my. But hold on. He was just, hold on a second. And so I start telling him, and he goes, hold on, I'll be right back. And he's like, man, this is freaking me out. He comes back. He's like, okay. He comes back like a minute later. He goes, and so he tells me a piece. I tell him a piece. Because, you know, he doesn't really believe in God. He doesn't know what's going on, but he's fighting evil. He's at very powerful, famous people's houses. He's been there a few days staying. He's about to leave. He's going out to the car to leave. And they come in and they say, hey, we'd like you to come in here. We'd like to pray for you. These people aren't like known as Christians either. It's not like pray for them. Apparently. Yeah, why don't you come on in here? And I said, let me guess. They brought you into something. And I was going to say they brought you into a like a temple or a. I said, they brought you into a room with a chair. And he goes, yeah, in the middle. And I was like, well, what was the color in the room? It's like kind of garish red. He goes, yeah. And I said, what was coming out of the ceiling? And he was like, he was just like blushing and like going, what the hell? He starts telling me about it. And then I said, and then they lay the hands on you. And he goes, they did it. And as he says, he goes, feet. And as he said feet, I said feet. And now he's like, well, see, I know black magic. I've studied it. And the main way they want to do it is anal sex when they're doing it. That's Aleister Crowley stuff. He's just covering the old stuff. But if they obviously, it would be too obvious for him. We wouldn't let him do that. Let me put my hands on your feet. So they got this woman with her hands on her feet. And I said, let me guess. And he goes, yeah, extremely sexual, like being assaulted sexually, but mentally, like an orgasm. But he said, then he was freaked out by it, didn't like it, left, had a bunch of, you know, weird feelings and things going on, rejected it, because it's like a succubus, but it, you know, it's a sex demon. And that's how they like to break into a lot of people. It's a whole class of them. It was you studying demonology. And so, there's a lot more he didn't want told because of stuff, but the point was is that I sat there and walked through all these angles, all these things with him, and so then, you know, he didn't know what was going on, so, you know, he talked to Protestants, he talked to Catholics, he talked to a Jewish rabbi, they said, oh, this will help you wear this thing, didn't help him. Got to cry to Jesus. And as soon as he figured that out, all these problems went away. But it was also attacking his crew. But they, as soon as this happened, it was when he came back, was when this starts. And when you go and oppose the globalists, you go to a leftist meeting, you go to their protest, you go to the depositions with these people, they're literally going, my lawyers are like, we never seen the audience. What's going on? They're like, you got to see this for yourself, okay?
We'll get you.
So you can say whatever it is, but it's basically an avatar. They're jacking in. They're taking control of people. And this demon that was sent, that was put on him, was trying to break through and have a sexual sex magic contact with him, and he rejected it, so then it assaulted him. Now, you see all the Satanism, all the death, all the evil, all the cultures doing this. Those are the footprints of this thing. It's like in Predator, where you can't see the predator, but you can see its footprints because it's cloaked out of this dimension, but it comes in and out. At Skull and Bones, they go and spend weeks and months off and on trying to channel in coffins gods or goddesses, entities, to give them advanced knowledge. Then the former Skull and Bones or graduates come and they watch while everybody masturbates and bathes in feces. And this is all, you know, Robert De Niro made a movie about it, Good Shepherd, which is actually a true story. You see that scene, them pissing on them and they're bathing in feces and everything? That's all real. Little news tip. You're getting pissed on by men and bathing in feces and laying in coffins? Satanism. So, but theirs is a druidic angle of it, Germanic druidic. And Helmut Schmidt wrote a book about it, Men in Power's Political Retrospective, and said, I love our druidic rituals, but my favorite is with the Republicans in the U.S. So this is all going on, folks. You need to understand what's happening. And people that make fun of it, that's for the movie. People that make fun of this do it at their own peril. This is 100% real. So when they're attacking Tucker for covering this, they don't want you to understand that. They think it's going to be discrediting of him. So what does Ephesians say? Hey, why don't you pull up more Bible verses about demonic possession, demonic attack, exorcism, you name it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, governments. Look what a principality is. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual hierarchical kingdoms, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Remember, Satan's the god of this world, given dominion. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. What does Satan do with Christ 30 days out in the desert? He shows up and shows him the whole world and says, bow down to me, I will give you this. What did Christ say? Get behind me, Satan. Get out of my way. Satan gets in our way. What's the left do? What's the carbon taxes do? What's the globalism do? Messing up kids' lives, messing up their true destiny, getting in our way, stumbling blocks. Get behind me, Satan. Folks, I got Satan's tire marks on me. I got Satan's arrows sticking out of me. I know all about it. I wasn't looking for it. It's been looking for me. I've seen stuff that's beyond movies. Because the devil sent the big guns after me, including the devil himself. And only because through God have I survived it. But still, these little Satanists and people, just being run over by it, they can smell it. Okay? Because in their little hierarchical system, it's all hierarchical. They never even get close to that. So to them, they're like, ah, who is this guy? Oh, my God. Because Mike Tyson said, when God favors you, the devil favors you as well. And when the devil favors you, that's not a good thing. It means trying to get you. But then you get to see the real stuff, like a Tucker Carlson, doing good work, doesn't have God, doesn't have Jesus, doesn't have a defense shield. Now he does, and now they're pissed. So here's a short compilation that they're putting around, you know, attacking him, but it totally knocks it out of the park, and it's completely accurate. Here's Tucker Carlson.
It's my personal belief, based on a fair amount of evidence, that they're not aliens. They've always been here. And I do think it's spiritual.
Can you articulate it?
The belief that supernatural beings take physical form. They all believe that. The Greek myths, Jesus, most famously. But that they take physical form, that they're not just like some ethereal, they're not just shadows floating around, specters, fog, that they're physical. Like, they're as real as the arm of your chair, and that they reproduce with people. Again, Christianity believes that. Jesus, Immaculate Conception, spirit reproduces with human woman. That's what the story is.
Yeah, no, I was on February 20th, 2023, I was attacked in my bed by a spiritual being.
Physically mauled.
In a spiritual attack by a demon?
Yeah, by a demon.
And so I talked to a lot of people, and I was really shocked by what incredible people told me.
The U.S. government has, in fact, had contact, direct contact with these beings, whatever they are. I've already told you what I think they are, and has entered into some sort of agreement with them.
They could all be wrong. Of course, you know, I can't prove it.
Yeah.
But I became completely satisfied, I'll say that, that they were not lying and that they were right or in the vicinity of right.
I care about this country and what happened to it after 1945. And it's a very clear demarcation line. And it seems obvious to me that nuclear weapons are demonic. There's no upside to them at all. And that anyone who claims otherwise is either ignorant or doing the bidding of the forces that created nuclear technology in the first place, which are not human forces, obviously.
These phenomena, which are clearly, obviously real. I mean, there's no debate about that. There's a lot of shit that people can't explain in the sky and underwater. We know that. Fact. So the debate is this government technology, is it from outer space or is it some spiritual realm here?
I've never met a person who can isolate the moment where nuclear technology became known to man. And so where did it come from exactly? Oh, German scientists in the 30s, really when? Name the date. And I've never heard anybody do that. It's very clear to me that these are demonic.
And so people with this weird and destructive instinct, that's what it is. It's not a conspiracy, it's an instinct, have taken over all the levers of power. And I think it's like a spiritual force. That's my personal view. I can't prove it, but I really believe it.
Our leadership is the worst.
Yeah.
They're the worst. They're like the worst people I've ever met. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's not accidental.
Yeah, I mean, could it be, I'll just raise the question, could it be that some people have received some assistance from demonic
certainly seems that
in terms
way.
Of achieving what they've achieved?
How many happy political, I don't know how many political leaders you know, but how many happy ones have you met?
Oh, gosh. Not a lot I trust, put it that way.
Right, but they're all like tormented.
Yeah.
Sweaty and nervous and afraid. Don't you think those are signs?
I do.
The main effort that the U.S. government has put into its disinformation, its lying on this topic, their main interest is in convincing you that the supernatural is not real. Why has that been so important for 80 years for you to convince me the supernatural is not real? The obvious answer is, well, because they sort of know they're working for supernatural forces, actually. And I think that's probably true. I'm satisfied that I know enough, and I don't really want to know that much more. Because what I think I know is, this doesn't help me at all to know that. So that's a conclusion I've reached. I'm usually pretty curious. I've stopped being curious about this because I don't want to know anymore. But
you truly don't want to know anymore about it.
I think I know. I think I know what's up.
Yeah, and he talks about people he talked to. I'm, amongst others, the main person. And he knows enough history that he understood what I was telling him. Let me explain actually what the most ancient black magic books say when we come back. They say you get advanced knowledge from the demons, but they want baby blood to give you the technology. I'll explain it when we come back. Stay with us. The bad guys don't want you to know this. I will give you the rest of the story on the demonic invasion and how it ties into Tucker Carlson's Great Awakening that's being demonized and attacked. It's a top story all over the news. All the Democrat operations, Drudge Report, ABC News, Wall Street Journal. Oh, we can't get him deplatformed for criticizing Israel. We'll just say he should be in a funny farm. He should be in a rubber room. No, anybody that doesn't recognize this is going on, we have psychotics running things that are literally worshiping the devil. These have their head examined. So that's coming up. But first, the allegory of They Live ties into this. Here it is.
Like this all the time, trying to politically awaken people that they're being lied to, that there's an agenda. It's not left or right. It's, hey, there's mind control going on. The signals broadcast 24 hours a day through all this media. Just become aware of it, and they'll say, there's nothing going on. And I want to say, put on these glasses or start chewing concrete.
They have taken the hearts and minds of our leaders. They have recruited the rich and the powerful, and they have blinded us to the truth.
The question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight.
Our impulses are being redirected. We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep.
An estimated 50 to 70 million Americans suffer from a sleep disorder or sleep deprivation.
Outside the limit of our sight, feeding off us, perched on top of us from birth to death, are our owners.
Latest census numbers prove the United States has the biggest gap between rich and poor compared to all westernized countries today.
Our projections show that by the year 2025, not only America, but the entire planet will be under the protection and the dominion of this power alliance. The gains have been substantial, both for ourselves and for you, the human power elite.
And for the first time in all of human history, mankind is politically awakened. That's a total new reality.
I've got one that can see.
We can't be the only ones who can see.
Unfortunately, you've grown up hearing voices that incessantly warn of government as nothing more than some separate, sinister entity that's got at the root of all our problems.
It's a new morning in America. Fresh, vital. The old cynicism is gone. We have faith in our leaders. We're optimistic as to what becomes of it all. It really boils down to our ability to accept. We don't need pessimism.
I have two words for you. Predator drones.
And who are you, little fella?
You will never see it coming.
And I'm predicting the first guy who uses a Second Amendment weapon to bring a drone down that's been hovering over his house is going to be a folk hero in this country.
Nice.
There is a signal broadcast every second of every day through our television sets.
I'm just trying to warn you folks, the television is a giant LED weapon system. It's so advanced. They got a monkey farm in Bastrop, folks, that they do all sorts of testing on great apes, rhesus monkeys, the whole nine yards. And they go, oh, you didn't see this, and punch a button and it'd be hundreds of monkeys with wires in their brains with television sets brainwashing them.
All I ever have to do is be famous. People watch me, and they love me.
You can have a little taste of that good life, too. Now, I know you want it. Hell, everybody does.
Do it to your own kind.
What's the threat? We all sell out every day. Might as well be on the winning team.
The real men of the world have to stand up and say, I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum. Time to take a stand, boys. You know what? You got a little courage. Stand up for yourself.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
The Oscar winners give a press conference and how to buy a sailboat as...
Long live the Republic! Death to the New World!
So there's all this incredible world news taking place, and we're going to get to it all here in a few minutes. And I'm going to debate Dinesh D'Souza about this war on Tucker Carlson and anybody questioning Israel coming up next hour. But if you're tuning into us on a radio station, a lot of our stations of the 450 plus, for whatever reason, carry the second, third, and fourth hour. A lot of them don't carry the first for whatever reason. I'm not mad at them. I understand they got reasons, but a couple hundred don't. You need to go to X later or Rumble, the Alex Jones channels, because we'll post what I did last hour, the last 30 minutes, with this. It's important. If you're just tuning in now, you're getting the backstory. So if you go to Drudge, the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, everywhere, lock up Tucker Carlson. He's a lunatic. He says a demon attacked him 3-4 years ago. He says it's a demonic war we're in, good versus evil. This is completely insane. Let's pull up the Drudge Report. It was at least an hour ago, it was the top story. Well, isn't the Bible about that? Isn't culture about that? Didn't every culture warn of this? Didn't every culture become demonic at some point and do human sacrifice to devil gods? I mean, you'd think the government shutdown beginning to end would be the top story. No, it's Tucker Carlson draws scorn for new details of demonic attack. The claw marks, the bloody sheets. Warns of hostile interdimensional forces influencing human ant farm. Where did you hear that put out to the mainstream with Joe Rogan 10 years ago on this show 30 years ago? That's why Tucker says, get InfoWars List Forever ready. That's why Tucker says, and I should have when I was on with him a few weeks ago, brought this up because this is what people want to hear about. And got him to tell more because he told me a lot more than it's public. Because I was saying what he was going to say before he said it. They tried to get him in their cult. This isn't Eyes Wide Shut, Stanley Kubrick, a fiction. What do you think he witnessed that made him make that movie? And then they cut 25 minutes and he magically died because he refused to cut it. Then they cut it. Had Vivian Kubrick in Sunday, his daughter, his protege. We know of what we speak. She told me a lot of stuff that's off record on that. I'll just stop there. He was never involved in it, but let's just say, That's why he went and basically hid out in the English countryside and would never hang out with Hollywood. But imagine you're Tucker Carlson. You think they try to get you into this? If you were the Satan cult, who would you try to get? Well, you'd try to get Tucker Carlson. You'd try to get Alex Jones. Well, they tried to get me a long time ago. And they got me. I didn't fully embrace it. I didn't fully integrate with it. But I got lit up like a Christmas tree for a while. I got the spirit, as they'd say. I plugged in just a couple years. And boy, these people were like the bosses here, bowing down. And then God came right in and snatched me up like Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus and said, no, you don't. This one's mine. But I wouldn't have all this knowledge if God and his plan didn't allow that to happen to me. And I didn't do any illegal stuff. I didn't get involved in a bunch of the rituals. But let's just say I skated around the very top of it, got brought directly into it. And it was sex. And I look back on it now, because I don't think of it as like that, but it was pedophilic. Not that there were kids. These were adults. I was the kid. I was 11 years old, having sex with a 16-year-old witch down the street whose parents were Satanists and obviously abused her. Now, some of the things she said and did, you know, she told me. And then she put the information in the network. And by the time I'm 12, in eighth grade, I've got the rich beauty queens who are 16 wanting to come pick me up in their Mercedes or their Jaguar and take me to the movies. And these are ladies. These are beautiful. These are nice. My parents are like, sure, take them to the movies. Well, I'll assure you, I wasn't getting taken to the movies. And then very quickly, once you have a relationship with your girlfriend, she wants you to go somewhere. She wants you to meet some people. And the times it happened, at least four times where it got real direct, I said, I can't do this. I'm not part of this. I'm out. But in the process of that, I got spiritually infested and tempted with the power and the pride and the vision of dominance. Because I wasn't given, I've talked to top theologians and top historians on this privately, consulted a lot of them. Pastor Rodney Howard Brown brought in some top theologians. I spent over a week with him a few years ago and spilt my guts on all this privately with him. And I already knew the answers, but then they said them. Different theologians he brought in. Because I was only gatewayed with the sex thing. That's the way that most of the top demons do it. But I got the direct Luciferian world domination pitch that Christ got. I'm not saying I'm like Christ. I'm saying that I got the global domination pitch. When I was 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. And I already had a political knowledge. I was already into it. That's why the devil came. He knew I had a plan. God had a plan for me. The devil's like, you ain't got a plan for him. I got a plan. The devil's not omnipresent, but he can smell out who God's planning to rise up. But the Lord works in mysterious ways, so that was my boot camp training. And you can make the joke, when God puts you through boot camp, it wasn't that bad, except having to throw it off. So you could say I started at the top. And to work my way back down. So I know all about this stuff, all right? And I know how real it is. And I know a lot more about Tucker's story. I can't tell you this private. And what's happened since then. But let's just say this. It's been an episode of Ghostbusters in Florida and up in Maine since it started. Because Tucker is so interwoven in the future operations, and the devil knows that, so the devil is throwing a lot of forces at Tucker. You know, Joe Rogan a few years ago had Ben Shapiro on, and Ben Shapiro ran his mouth against Christianity, and Joe, who's informed a lot of things, was so ignorant on Christianity. He's like, so Judaism doesn't like Christianity? So Judaism's not... And Bishop was like, no. Jesus was a bad guy. You know, this is a private thing. I shouldn't get into it. But, you know, Joe became a Christian about 3 years ago. And Joe goes to church every Sunday in Austin. And Joe says his prayers when he wakes up, when he goes to bed at night. And that's because Joe has experienced all this now and has his own little experiences. Because you don't think the devil didn't try a little something on him? But the devil likes to keep you like Tucker was 50 years old when this started, like 55, 56 now, not knowing any of this, not even really believing it, but he's doing good work. What do you think the devil's going to do when you're doing God's work, but you don't have God as a shield? Because God didn't like the devil that comes in and literally rapes you and infiltrates you and comes at you when you're a kid and tries to destroy your innocence. God is up front of everything, all about free will. And do you agree to this? God even showed me what the different futures were, showed me the pain, but showed me the what I could do if I stood up about 3-4 years after I was on air. Told the story 1,000 times. I can tell it again. I was literally like it was a military contract. Because everything we have as humans, we imitate out of the spirit world. All the hierarchies, all that's how it works. I was literally signed a contract. You don't think it's not only the devil in the archetype at the crossroads in Louisiana, you know, as they say in the blues, you sign that contract. That's a copy, a counterfeit. No, God has you sign a contract. I didn't sign it in blood. I signed it with my word and my will. First, okay, you say you want this. You've been doing well. Here's the different possible futures. It's going to be really rough, but you say you want to stand up for the innocents and fight the devil? First, have a little taste of this. Well, that's not very pleasing, but this will happen. I make the deal. Good. Now, prepare to receive transmission. Battle blueprint. And you're just like... And then it unlocks each point you need it. That's what the real universe is like. You're like, oh, that sounds... Look at the stars. Look at the moon. Look at the earth. Look at the mountains, the trees, the fish, the bumblebees, the butterflies that fly all the way from Canada to central Mexico, the monarchs, and how do they get there? It's all interconnected. And we're so advanced compared to a hummingbird that can fly 3,000 miles or a goose or a butterfly. But that interconnection it has magnetically and chemically and everything is beyond. It's interdimensional. It's following a program. But we are made in the image of God. We aren't like a butterfly that follows this program. We have free will. You're always told by the left, you don't have free will. We're just robots. We're just programmable. It's a lie. You can set your course. So, most of the black magic, occultic, Satan stuff is all pop disinformation. Aleister Crowley was kind of a pop disinformation for the general public. And the movements they launched in Hollywood, the founding of NASA and all that, so this is an amalgamation. But when you actually study Solomon and Egyptian magic and all the rest of it, and you can say ancient Chinese magic, it's all the same thing, just different systems, but it's the same thing. And when you study ancient Middle Eastern magic, and that's all the stuff that's carried on to the Dark Ages into Europe, the Grand Grimoires published, 800 years ago, and they've got the carvings of the wizard with his accoutrement and his assistants and his gear, and he's got the circle and he's containing the demon and he's in control of it because he knows it wants to destroy him, but he's going to get knowledge from it. And you read it and it's like, do you want to know where there's buried treasure? Do you want to know how to politically rule? Do you want to have science? Do you want to know alchemy? How to turn lead into gold, which is the archetype of what we're able to do now. And then they say, well, we want you to bring in a child and kill it, and then we will give you knowledge. But the coin is getting you to do horrible things that cut you off from God, And you're really becoming a slave of the demon while you believe you're being given advanced knowledge. And then if you do enough of this, you'll be given positions of power within the system because they control the other slaves at the top. But it won't matter because now you're a total husk of what you were when you're Larry Fink, when you're Albert Bourla, when you're Bill Gates. So the process of raping and torturing and killing children in your black mass, your Black Sabbath, is about degrading you and affronting God while the child's being tortured. It's a double combo. So you hear Tucker talk about we're being given advanced technology, but only stuff to destroy us by these interdimensional creatures. I explain that all to him. And he had enough history to understand. Oh, yeah, I've read about that, to understand that. So that's the bottom of the rabbit hole here. And now, because calling people Nazis if you don't do what they want doesn't work, now they've moved on to a witch hunt. But it's not the Salem witch trials, because there's also the other side of True Hysteria on the other side. It is the witch hunt that Tucker believes in God and the devil, good versus evil. The devil's greatest trick is he doesn't exist, really his second biggest trick. Biggest trick is good doesn't exist, in my view. I know it's true. If I coined it, you know it's true. But, oh, it's okay to be a devil worshiper. It's okay, it's all around you. But don't say it exists. That's the new witch. But notice, when I've put all this out, does the media ever pick it up? Do they ever attack me? No. Because they know people will tune in here. And they'll get the deep dive. And a lot of you have had experiences, too, that you haven't told people about it. You know. You've been there. You saw it. But the good news is God's in command. God made it all. God gave us free will. And really, Satan is an agent of God. God doesn't command Satan, control Satan, but God gave us free will. So by extension, the tempter is there. His own son was tempted. That's the way this is. Christ was tempted by Satan to be given power over the world. Ephesians 6:12 says the world is commanded by demonic entities with Satan at the top. But if you go look at the Tucker Carlson videos everywhere in the news, he's insane. No Christians believe this. This isn't happening. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then it goes on. I saw questions on videos. Grok, is this true? No, there's no proof there's any spiritual entities. No, the Bible doesn't say this. It's just like, oh, Grok, does 2 + 2 = 4? You know, it's the same idiocy. Because it's a computer, and it's programmed to go to secular sources that don't want you to know on Saturday night they're raping kids and the elite groups are slitting their throats and drinking their blood. And if you ever figure that out, it's over for them. So they tell you, oh, sweetie, there's no good and evil. You don't have free will. But look at their will. Look at what they want. Look at what they set up. Look at what they do. It's all around you. So you want to know how to get out of the New World Order? You want to know how to defeat the globalists? You want to know how to get out of the ant farm? Point your DNA, your transceiver, at God and say, I want you to lead God and direct me. Come to me. Show me your will. Protect me. I love you. I accept Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. That's what you got to do, folks, because you can't face the devil alone. Even if you don't believe the devil exists, he's there. He's real. More real than this table right here, like Tucker said. There is no escape from this. You must face this. And everything I've told you is true. And I've only told you a little bit. And I feel sorry for those of you, for whatever reason, have never had a chance to see it for yourself. but you do see the evil all around you. Here's Tucker in a clip that's not a bunch of mismatches, but just him in general. Here it is.
I had one of the most interesting conversations I've ever had. I had with a very spiritually attuned, very smart friend of mine, and I was saying, you know, I'm a man, and I hate lying, and I just want to be honest about it. Like, there, people do, you know, bad sexual stuff, and I don't, but you could, I don't judge that much, because you're like, yeah, you know, we're all in the wrong circumstance capable of anything. But I said to this person, I don't get the, like, underage girl thing. That's like, they're not into it. They're kids. Maybe I have too many kids or something. I'm not being self-righteous. I'm just being honest. No, I just don't get that. I don't see any appeal at all.
It's a pathological obsession. I mean, Epstein was into girls with braces specifically.
Exactly. So what is that? And the conventional explanation is, maybe I'm being too honest, but I think this is really revealing, because it's not about sex. It's a spiritual thing. And I said, what is that? And this friend of mine said, it's the thrill of destroying innocence. That's
yes.
what it is.
Yeah.
And that is the definition of evil. That is Satan right
well,
there.
That was,
it's taking something pure. I guess this is maybe, I'm the only person who ever thought of this. Maybe you have already have. I had not thought of that. I was like, it's not just a sexual attraction. Like, oh, I think, you know, underage girls with braces are hot. They're not. No normal person thinks that. That's bizarre. No. The idea is that I'm destroying something that's pure.
Yeah. And throughout history.
Well, that's just. That's Satan acting. Sorry.
Throughout history, people have looked at that as something that confers power. That's what child sacrifice
exactly.
is, you know, and where people get that idea, I don't know, but it's apparently deeply ingrained
well,
enough.
It's not an
in
idea.
There.
It's a spiritual reality. And
right.
it's like the core of the Christian message where, you know, Satan says during at the end of the 40 days of temptation to Christ, you know, we bow down before me and I'll give you all this power. And that's mm-hmm. clearly the arrangement, which is explicit or not, but it's real not nonetheless, between leaders when they kill in a wanton way, which most of them do, and when they destroy beauty and innocence, you're doing that in exchange for power. And it is a real trade. Like, that's all real.
And that's key. Raping a child, murdering a child is terrible, but it's low end. The big wars, that's the big satanic banquet. That's the big ritual. Generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Let's come in with that. All right, I'm done talking about this. That's my defense of Tucker, defense of reality, defense of where we are. And God has shown Tucker these things. God literally told me to blow him away. I mean, it wasn't me. I read his mind, told him. I mean, the stuff I told you is one-tenth of it. Went on and on. I just told him everything and would make him say the next piece. I would finish the next piece. And Tucker's like, oh, my God, what is this? And I said, I'm channeling the Holy Spirit. And, you know, God told me to do this because of what you're seeing now. And now their attack on him. This is how God works. This is the power of God. Unstoppable. Total. Complete. We'll be right back with all the temporal news straight ahead. Share the live feeds now. All right, Drudge is top link, our flashback. Carlson warns of hostile interdimensional spiritual forces that influence the human ant farm. I appreciate Drudge doing that. But I guess I'll do a few more minutes on this. You know, I'm sitting there looking at all this preparation. Like, this is not props here. Every stack, I got all the Laura Ingraham stuff. I've got Russia advancing, looks like Road Warrior on motorcycles, taking over Ukraine. I've got Kurds stunned, a former Al-Qaeda commander, hosted at White House. I've got Trump demonized for having steak dinners at Mar-a-Lago. Meanwhile, he's moving, as I advised him, and I've done this myself to Trump, to break up the big four beef cartel, because the ranchers don't get any of the money, literally. It's a joke. I'll explain this. My family are ranchers. So... that's a huge story. Massive attacks on ICE, arrest made on people trying to kill them, shoot them. Aircraft carrier arrives, get ready to hit Venezuela. Colombia threatens a counterstrike. Albert Bourla insane statements. Vanessa Souza coming up. I mean, it just goes on and on. But you talk about demonic. I could show you just this week, because I've been so busy I haven't played them, dozens of videos of women getting super excited, obviously demonically possessed, saying, here's my baby, They're 2 years old. I've already got them on hormone blockers. This is so wonderful. I'm going to sterilize him. That's human sacrifice. You know, just the most insane crap. This isn't mental illness. This is demonic possession. But I saw this clip this morning at about 5 a.m. when I was doing research. And when the woman in Canada is talking about how they release people from jail that rape five-year-old kids with no, you know, no jail time, I was thinking about how much worse it is than she even says. And Canada's where they want to take us, just like the UK's are the same place as the Netherlands or Germany. If you put a camera up on your house in Canada and catch a crime, you get fined or go to jail. They euthanize kids that the state has control of. They kill them. They don't just allow men to compete in women's sports. They let adult men compete in eighth-grade girls swimming. And there's constant, every day, dozens of indictments of Democrat lawmakers raping kids. So you talk about demonic, this is it. And every day we hear another child rapist accidentally released in the UK. No, it's on purpose. This is their religion. This is their plan. They want to kill, steal, and destroy. They want access to our children. That's all they do. That's their mission. So when you ask, are things demonic? Just this week, the Vatican got attacked 4 or 5 times with, quote, tourists coming in who then just start attacking St. Peter's Basilica and tearing things down and smashing things, Muslims. But we're told they're our little buddies and they're our friends. But the minute they show up, they just start attacking, even though the Muslims almost took Vatican City 4 times in invasions before the Crusades. It's all part of the same force. And it's moving against the world. So the world can criticize us and make fun of us, but the public, all I get is agreement. The public knows. The world is waking up to the devil's second biggest trick, that he doesn't exist. He does exist. But then when they wake up to the biggest lie of the devil, that good doesn't exist and that good doesn't have the power. As Thomas Jefferson said, he was asked, why do evil men and tyrants flourish? And he said, evil men and tyrants flourish only when good men do nothing. At the end of the day, it has been our acquiescence, it has been our bowing down, it has been us advocating our responsibility that has caused this. So don't blame the devil worshipers. God will deal with them. It is up to us to know the truth, to tell the truth, and let the chips fall where they may. So here's this lady talking about this. This is a public case. You can look it up. With just a few other examples, because it's way worse than she's saying. And even what I put here is a small sampling. Here it is.
Canada's officially the dumbest fucking country on the planet, and so are most of the Canadians that voted for this. I'm not even kidding. You guys are so dumb that you don't even realize the police chief is trying to tell you right now to lose all ability for your survival skills. That's the PSYOPs. So if you don't know what's going on, we had a guy break into a home in Welland, Ontario, and rape a five-year-old child. He essayed a five-year-old child while the parents were sleeping. And you want to know what's happened to him? Nothing. He's out on bail. Why? Because Canada loves rapists and criminals just like their entire fucking government. And the people that voted for this are so stupid, you actually deserve this. I hope your homes get doxxed so that these foreign criminals can come in, bend you over just like the government did in 2020 when you complied for this, you little lab rats.
You just will not believe the depths of the stupidity coming out of Canada, Hamilton, Ontario more specifically, in a country where crime is running rampant, criminals are running around with real guns and real bullets while the citizens are being disarmed, homes are being broken into left, right, and center. Now the city of Hamilton is saying you can't have security cameras on your own property.
There are 10 security cameras mounted outside of Dan Miles's Hamilton home. He says they've been a valuable tool for crime fighting.
I've actually participated in evidence sharing of 3 homicides on these cameras, over 40 break and enters, multiple home invasions.
So it came as a surprise when the city of Hamilton asked Miles to remove all of his cameras.
If you don't know what's going on, there's been a bunch of gun crime. illegal gun crime because you took away gun ownership and by illegals who are now going into homes in Ontario and literally taking whatever they want. And you want to know what the police chief said? He said comply. He said Canadians should comply. And if you don't, we failed as a community. Just listen to this piece of what he says.
Best defense for most people is to comply, as you've just heard a number of
just comply, you guys.
Recommendations will allow for those that are victimizing members in the community to leave and not
just leave.
Harm anyone.
Why didn't we think of that?
It sometimes can fall on deaf ears when members feel like they have to take matters into their own hands. And the only thing I'd say is, if we are going to rely on our community members to take matters into their own hands to solve this problem, we have all failed our community.
Yeah, you dummy Canadian pieces of shit. Comply!
To prevent the possibility of being attacked in your home, leave your fobs at your front door. Because they're breaking into your home to steal your car. They don't want anything else.
You're so racist. If you fight back, you're racist. Ew. You don't deserve to live. You don't deserve to actually, like, fight back. You're just a piece of shit that the government uses as punching bags and tax slaves so that they can keep funding the tax laundering money in the Ukraine. Comply, you stupid
f***s. All right, that's an important video. Before I post that to X, I'm going to ask McBrain, because I called him this morning and mumbled the directives to him. I wanted one more clip at it, and we have it like 20 times. I mean, literally, from Toronto on the East Coast all the way to the West Coast, the police say, put your car keys in an unlocked box on your front porch by your mailbox so that car thieves can get the keys to your car and don't need to break in your house. There's a little clip there, but let's expand that. People don't understand that. That's saying, so you don't get raped, hang your butt out your window at night, and so it doesn't hurt, have a bottle of lube sitting right there next to it. Again, you cannot make this up. In the UK, if you expose a Muslim grooming gang that rapes your 10-year-old daughter, you go to prison. Yeah, leave car keys by front door to avoid home invasion, Toronto police officer says. That's your spokesperson. You cannot make it up. And Mondami says he's going to defund the police. And though they've got all these zoning laws and regulations and all these environmental laws that nobody can play with, if you don't do it all, the government's going to take your house and put people in it. That's seizing the means of production. See how fast it's moving? Now let's talk about how they're really killing us. Because just like I said earlier, the old-fashioned raping a kid, torturing him, sacrificing him to Satan, that's an old-fashioned way of doing it, like getting to work on a horse. No, the New World Order gets to pure Satanism on a bullet train with big wars and 30-plus million in the insurance actuaries dead and growing from the COVID shots. And the virus they release. So I love Joe Rogan, and he's really awake. But he was in a recent clip, we'll play in a moment, and he's like, you know, it was about money for Big Pharma, and they didn't know what this would do, and blah, blah. No. They did rat tests with this very shot with COVID-19 years before. It's in the documents, called it COVID-19. It sterilizes them, heart attacks, all of it. No. Making money is a side issue. Killing people, sterilizing people is the main issue. So Albert Bourla famously got asked about a year in the COVID shots, if you take it, he said, no, not yet. But now he knows there's like 2% uptake in it. It's basically been banned by Kennedy in the U.S. It's not recommended anymore, which doesn't have liability protection, so it is basically banned. They thought once they took liability protection away that they get scared because that, no, they just give you now an insert when you take the shot saying this could kill you. So you sign a form now saying, I know this is deadly. So now they're using informed consent. Now they're trying to follow the Nuremberg Code. Instead of coercion. Well, too late, you already did it. So here's Albert Bourla has announced that the company will launch a new once-a-month shot designed to address America's obesity problem. The announcement follows Pfizer's acquisition of Metsera, Inc., a biotech startup development next-generation weight loss treatments. Borla says people want his opinion and suggests the new monthly shot could be used alongside other weight loss drugs, which are super deadly. And the regulators allowed, made out of anglerfish toxin and Gila monster venom. Albert Bourla, I don't need to be vaccinated. I'm healthy. So now he wants you to have this monthly shot, and all these things are basically like chemotherapy and kill you. They're poison. Gee, I'm taking Gila monster poison, and I'm losing weight. Paralyzes my guts and eats my muscle. Damn, this is great. Well, if you really want to lose weight, just take some cyanide, and you'll be dead in 2 minutes, and you'll really lose weight. And then Trump's up there, oh, they're going to cut the cost of Ozempic. Damn. Oh, isn't that great for you? Unbelievable. Play Borla, and then play Joe Rogan. Joe's great, but he's like, oh, it's about money. No, Joe, it's about killing people. And those that just get maimed, selling them treatments for all the diseases you just gave them. Here it is.
I think that this is something that will benefit American patients.
And you think this is the once-a-month shot that people really want?
I do think that this is the one-a-month shot that people want, and not only in GLP-1, but also in Amylin, and even more important, the combination. And that's highly differentiated. I don't think the others, they have demonstrated something like that so far.
When you think about the long term, if we really do bend the obesity curve, what happens to the sale of drugs that treat the symptoms of obesity? Do they take a hit?
I don't know if they will take a hit or if they will be used in combination with this. But I think that the two will make a lot of these comorbidities go away.
And what's the timeline on that, do you think?
I think already we have a lot of studies on that. Our molecules probably will reach within 3 years the marketplace, and we are ready to compete.
But I think everybody who took the shot is really wanting to avoid the mind fuck of knowing that you got used as a little piggy bank for the pharmaceutical drug companies to push some experimental shit on you and tell you that it's both safe and effective. It's both safe and, which, by the way, didn't Fauci use that same term for AZT back in the day? Didn't
he? He would. I mean, it's a great slogan,
safe,
right?
Safe and effective. Safe. See if he did. See if you could attribute the term safe and effective to Fauci talking about AZT during the HIV crisis.
But there's all of that stuff.
Long-term AZT appears safe and effective. Oh, my goodness. 1989. Wow. There's a video of him saying it. Mm. That's where I remember now. He was saying, the reason why we prescribe AZT is that it's the only drug that is both safe and effective.
That
something
guy.
Along the line. You probably cut that out. It might not be his actual quote. But whatever he said, he was talking about it the same way he talked about the COVID vaccine. He was talking about something that definitely fucking killed people. AZT was a horrible, horrible drug that killed more people than – it was a cancer drug. It was chemotherapy. Like when have people ever been told to take chemotherapy forever?
Right.
What?
Yeah, he's a monstrous person. And the idea – I mean, I think any preemptive pardon that is
– wild.
Non-specific,
like non-specific that goes back to 2014.
Yeah, this you
Wild.
Can't have that. This is a legally unsupportable idea because it effectively creates two classes of citizens. It
yeah.
violates equal protection under the law. Right? You can't have people who are have carte blanche to violate the law. You know,
it's also what the kids call sus.
Yeah, it's super
that,
sus.
That is fucking super sus. What is this one? Oh, here it
Anthony.
Is.
Anthony.
Made available AZT because it's the only drug that thus far has been shown in scientifically controlled trials to be safe and effective. It isn't a question of there are a lot of drugs around and only one.
Yo, imagine that. Imagine saying that and
you
being so wrong
yeah.
that who knows how many people died from that, including people that had no symptoms at all.
It wasn't wrong.
They just tested positive for HIV and they just dosed them up.
Yeah, yeah, he's a cold-hearted son of a bitch.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, this is what I say to Trump and everybody. Bill Gates isn't wrong. Albert Bourla is not wrong. Anthony Fauci's not wrong. Peter Daszak's not wrong. It's a depopulation plan. It's on purpose. They knew AZT would cut off your immune system and make you grow all these cancers and kill your white blood cells. Why do you give someone an immune system suppressant when they have a virus suppressing their immune system? And what's the immune system suppress? Cancer. All the oncologists will tell you the number one thing causing cancer is a low immune system. It's not the toxic things you're even doing. It's that those things damage your white blood cells so they can't go do their job. Your blood becomes poisonous and can't do its job, so the cancers grow. From the day you're born, you got cancer. Your body eats it all day long. They don't tell you all the studies about deep, week-long fast, which I've never done up to 2 days. Your body will absorb everything, including scar tissue. They know all about this, and they don't want you to know. Wonder how these super unhealthy, on drugs, hookers, all of it, your globalists lived over 100 years old? Because they've got all the advanced technology. And they just give you the crap. They give you the garbage. They give you the lies. All right. Dinesh D'Souza is coming up. He's really mad at Tucker Carlson. And Tucker Carlson right now is on the leading edge of the tip of the spear culturally, being demonized and attacked, literally. Demonized for exposing demons. So that's coming up. Be sure and join us. Let me do this right now. Everybody wants updates on InfoWars, the future of it. Here's the deal. There's a receiver, a state receiver. They already had the other garbage a year ago and the fake auction that the feds ran, and then that was a fraud with Bloomberg and the Onions. That got shut down, and then we sued them and battled them for a year. It was this time last year. But now they're back. State receiver, he's here today. Literally was talking to him. There's people during the last break out there. They're like 60 feet away from that door. And I don't blame them. They're just little minions of the system. They're like, oh, we don't know if you're shut down 2 weeks from now or a month from now, but probably January 1st will be shut down for sure. And they're going to not have a real auction. They're not going to let the public try to buy it because they've said in their documents, we don't want Alex Jones staying on air. Whatever auction they have will be rigged, I'm sure. Whatever. Just, you know, it's the way it is. It's okay. We have the Alex Jones Network. And we have that basic studio set up and a whole new, bigger one, just as cool as this one or better, being built right now. We're busy beavers. All I need is for you to back us. It's real simple. Go to thealexjonesstore.com that I don't own, like InfoWars or things like that. Because InfoWars is just a website and a name. The InfoWars, you. We're InfoWarriors. We're battling for the truth. There's a war on our mind. So the only variable, I'll keep fighting, and the enemy will keep attacking, we know that, is that you simply support the new operation, buy the products to keep us on air with our sponsor, Bigley, that owns the Alex Jones Network, and we have a massive sale. Now, we were going to end. Here's the big news. It ends Thursday night at midnight. We've extended, get one bottle of ultramethylene blue capsules or liquid, tincture, and get one free. Huge deal. We have the best methylene blue. You're insane if you don't get it. You're going to be blown away. I've given it to over 600 people. Maybe three of them didn't feel it. The medical record, what it does, how it cleans out your mitochondria, how it skips the oxidation process, what it does is just insane. You get the best methylene blue right now. Buy one bottle, get one free. That was going to end today because the supplies are low. And this morning I was here about to cut the ad for all orders at thealexjonesstore.com for T-shirts, for knives, for supplements, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the probiotic, all of it, the best turmeric, gets a free murdered owl. Let's show some B-roll of this, baby. Black baseball cap, Richardson, high quality, with the classic InfoWars logo on it. Free with every order. Not just if you get the ultramethylene blue, buy one, get one free. Any order. You buy one T-shirt, free hat. You buy a supplement, free hat. You buy anything, a folding knife, free hat. I was like, you know, it's Veterans Day. Let me call Bickley and say, hey, you got enough methylene blue? They go, well, we're about to sell it the next few weeks, but more's coming in a few weeks. We'll probably sell up, but that's okay. Sure. What do you want to do? I said, fine. Until Thursday at midnight central, less than 48 hours out, you buy one bottle of ultramethylene blue, get a second bottle free, whether it's the pills or the tincture, same incredible product, and a free baseball cap. But all orders, no matter what you're ordering, the very best bovine colostrum, wow, the very best spike protein detox, ultimate life force, you buy a bottle of that, you get a free murdered out InfoWars ball cap limited edition. And if they're able to shut down InfoWars, they claim they own the name. They're not going to want this stuff anymore. This is going to be legendary. This is going to be historic. Don't worry, counter suing them. We're not stopping. They're in a lot of trouble. They are still under criminal investigation. But it doesn't matter. We continue on the fight. So get your incredible gear. Fund the operation now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And everybody that's going to buy anything should become a VIP. It's got all the bells and whistles, just like Amazon. You spend $30 a month, like Amazon Prime. You get $40 to spend instantly when you spend $30 in your profile. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything by being a VIP. You can cancel any time. You can become a VIP for a month, get $40 to spend, buy your product, cancel. Please don't do that. You can also subscribe for stuff that sells out, like ultramethylene blue, Shilajit, IRC moss. For 50% off of the future on every future order, cancel any time in your profile. You control it. You lock it in. You decide. But I know it's going to work so good for you that 80%+ of people reorder the methylene blue. Nobody in supplement sales has that. 70%+ for all their supplements. That's unprecedented. Become a VIP. Commit to the fight. Very light commitment. Pull out any time. Commit to AutoShip. Do the AutoShip. Get 50% off on all the supplements. Get it. You don't like it? Cancel AutoShip. But you're not going to. You're going to love it. Take action now. You've got less than 2 days to get this big deal.
I can no longer sit back and allow communist infiltration, communist indoctrination, communist subversion.
I wanted to speak about Islam because it's very easy for us to do the classic, and I think that's what they want us to do, divide and conquer. And the problem is that people are confused. They think this is about religion. This is about authoritarian versus a libertarian existence. That top horizontal bar is the lie that we've been told, that there is far left, far right, and in the middle is, you know, democracy. When in fact, what it is it's socialism in the middle. So they've lied to us and they've made us think that there's this thing called far left, which is supposed to be very different from far right. It's a lie. What is true is that the real, you know, spectrum is from total government to anarchy. And constitutional republic is just slightly below anarchy. It's where we have liberty and freedoms. And we live in Christian countries under the idea that we are given inalienable rights.
Loads of people call me racist for going to these, but I just want to be able to feel safe in my own community, and I just want to be able to walk the streets like my dad and my mum used to without a worry.
Dr. Mukaddam, what is the penalty for apostasy?
If it's an Islamic country, then the Sharia is very clear. Apostasy is dealt with the death penalty.
Thank you, that's all I want to hear.
He plays his games. We play ours.
They create this fake paradox of political systems. Is something totalitarian or is it libertarian?
If we start going Islam, you know, is evil and they're all, you know, what's the word? Barbaric and cruel and they're awful to women and blah, blah, blah. We're just going to get into the divide and conquer. What I think we can differentiate that any religion...
Islam is totalitarian.
Yeah, any religion that's totalitarian, we don't want.
There's no big organized Christian movement that's going to put beekeeper suits on women and enslave them and do all this. Exactly. So we have to recognize, where is the real totalitarianism in religion right now? It's Islam.
Have you ever had a single moment's thought about my responsibilities? Have you ever thought for a single solitary moment about my responsibilities to my employers?
This is a concerted effort by a group of human beings who are authoritarian, who wish to conquer the entire planet. What we're talking about here is a lower frequency of existence. And we can all imagine, like, you know, when the Aztecs would be like sacrificing people and the Druids were sacrificing little children. These are low states of consciousness. I mean, murdering people in order to placate some vicious god.
Allah promotes violence against the Jews, against the Christians, against the kafir, the unbeliever, openly. Allah himself is telling the Muslim people to go and kill them with violence. And it's like you're doing favor to God, like you're doing a supernatural, you know, amazing thing by killing your enemies. And the exact opposite is in the Bible, where Jesus comes, Isa comes and says, forgive your enemies, love them, bless them, take care of your enemies. So it's such a huge contrast.
The West goes to empower women. And then somehow the globalists get women to double back to go to the most Stone Age thing there is.
According to the Sharia, again, when it comes to women, there must be a hole dug in the earth, in the ground, and she must be covered up to the half of the body.
So know this, that Islam will enter every house. Every house.
If we fail to acknowledge that what we're witnessing with our eyes, what we're hearing when they say, you know, Muslim, how do we know we're going to take over America, everybody will be a Muslim, we'll be in every home. The reason why I keep banging on about this is because I want to save us from falling into the trap of divide and conquer. I know that there has to be Muslims out there that understand what I'm saying, that move to America precisely because of the libertarian construction of the American society. Everything that Christ said to us, it's all about love. And love ultimately is the act of wisdom to know that if somebody is behaving terribly, you can't counteract it by being equal.
All right, Dinesh D'Souza is our guest for the next hour. He's a great American, does a great job defending the West and our freedoms. But I've seen him be critical of Tucker Carlson. I've seen him kind of join in on all this. He's got a new film out we'll get into as well. And my issue is, why is Israel, with the left and now with the right, the main central issue? And then why does Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro and them going on a war path against Tucker, who's just as curious and has all sorts of guests on, why is that becoming the main issue of the Republican Party and driving a wedge? Because I see Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin and Josh Hammer saying Tucker's a fox in the hen house. We need to neutralize him. And you know, Levin saying, we're going to censor you. We're going to deplatform you. We're going to do all this. It just totally turns people off and turns people against Israel. I don't want Israel to be destroyed. I'm not pro Hamas and all this. But also understand Israel helped found Hamas. Netanyahu helped fund Hamas. Now we have the former head Al-Qaeda guy at the White House yesterday. I understand that Syria was overthrown by the West before Trump got in, but it's just like, it's crazy. And so there's got to be some nuance here to say what should be the big issues, like China and rare earth minerals and securing the border and getting jobs back and stopping inflation. But no matter what I do now on the left and all of its, you know, Mandami and all its Israel's the devil thing. And then now a lot of populists, you know, are reasonably mad about Israel first up, but it's not the main issue. And then Israel lobby comes in with the perfect way of, I wanted to Streisand effect and make it the bigger issue. So I guess my argument's too sophisticated for some people. We're just supposed to mindlessly do whatever Netanyahu says, or we're supposed to be pro Hamas. To me, this is a disaster, and it's becoming a major, infection point. And I want to put words into Dinesh's mouth. Maybe he can respond to this. I see him putting out videos criticizing Tucker, you know, talking about demonic attack or whatever. But I mean, he's got a book out about prophecy here. I mean, you know, Jesus talked about the principalities, you know, and Paul, the powers of the air, the evil in high places. I mean, I think good versus evil is a real thing. So, Dinesh, I'm not really having a debate with you because I think you're overall a great guy and I respect you. You come from things from a perspective of what you think's right. But I do think our identity as Americans is not Hamas. is not Islam and is not Israel. And so I've been trying to, like, I got Nick Fuentes on Tucker. I've been trying to get Nick Fuentes, you know, to see where all this goes. And he was attacking Tucker. And then he does an okay interview, you know, just lets him talk. And now I feel like I blew up the munitions factory or something here. So there's a lot there. It's not simple talking points. It's complex. Where do you stand on this? What do you think America's main issue should be? Do you get where I'm going here?
For sure, Alex. And look, I think you and I have known each other a pretty long time. I think you know that I come right from the Reagan tradition straight to Trump. And I'm very much America first. And also, Israel has never been my issue. In other words, I've been 35 years in American politics. I've written about 20 books, not a single one of them, by the way, on Israel. I've made a bunch of documentary films. Almost all of them have been, in one way or another, the meaning of America. Obama, Hillary.
No, that's fair to say. You're Mr. America. You've been back in America 100%. You're a big fan.
Yeah, so my interest in Israel developed kind of in a rather odd way. I went there really for the first time 3 years ago. I don't have deep connections with Israel. I went for the first time. I was like, wow, it does feel like I'm in the land of the Bible. And what really intrigued me, Alex, was all these findings in the last couple of decades in biblical archaeology. Because of my own past work in Christian apologetics, I said to myself that all these figures in the Bible, and for hundreds of years, they were only in the Bible. You had to take them on faith.
But now they're finding it everywhere. It's all being proven.
Yeah. It's coming out of coins and stone inscriptions and seals. And I was like, wow, this is really amazing stuff.
Right where they say they find the aluminum seals, right where that Moses did it. I mean, it's crazy.
It's crazy. And I said also, look, there's a political lesson here, which is that whatever you want to argue about Israel, the Jews have been in this land for 3,500 years. There's no debating that because here
and
are
let's not
their...
debate. They have a very special place in God's plan.
There you go. Now, what happens is I make a film about this, which enters the political only somewhat. I take Tucker Carlson's question that he asked of Ted Cruz, which was, hey, are the Jews of today the true descendants of the Jews in the Bible? And I said, let me put that question to Netanyahu. And so I did. And Netanyahu gave a very interesting answer talking about his ancestors. And he did a little bit of a dunk on Tucker. And what I did was I thought, look, if I'm going to post that clip, I don't want to ambush Tucker. I'll send it to him first. I texted it to him. I go, Tucker, I took your question. I posed it to Netanyahu. And this is what he said. I'm doing a very responsible thing. You raised the question with Ted Cruz in public. I'm asking the very man you mentioned, Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, to respond. And then Tucker sent me a very irritable response with some kind of genetic study claiming that the Jews of today are only like 67% connected to the ancient Israelites. And I sort of scratched my head. I'm thinking to myself, well, we don't do this with any other people, right? I mean, Alex, you and I don't go around demanding that blacks today provide genetic studies to prove that they really are from Africa. And if they can't show that they're 100% from Africa, then they're not really Africans. I mean, this kind of thing is really weird. And Tucker doesn't do it with any other group. So I kind of pointed that out to him. Now, Tucker and I had been last year together on a conference. We traveled over to a bunch of cities in Australia. We gave a lecture tour together. So we were together for about 8 or 9 days. And Tucker's like, well, Dinesh, why are you being like passive aggressive here? As if to say that in questioning him in any respect, I was either calling him an anti-Semite or somehow, you know, insulting him. And I was a little baffled. I'm like, well, Tucker, I'm just disagreeing with you. And somehow this cut off the tie between me and Tucker. Now, look, my thought about all this is we should be debating these issues. I am certainly not Israel first. I do not think that there is any immunity of the Israeli government from criticism. I think the issue of AIPAC's influence in American politics is a legitimate one to debate and discuss. I also think that the polarization between the kind of Tucker and Candace camp on the one side and the Ben Shapiro camp on the other tends to force people into one or the other. I don't know if I belong squarely in either of those camps.
Well, that was my next question. Do you agree with me that because if I covered Israel all day, I'd have higher ratings. I don't do that. It to me, there's so many other issues. I covered some. We're doing it right now. But you agree, though, this schism is not healthy.
Of course I agree. And look, what I find weird is that both sides basically say it shouldn't be about Israel, and that's all they talk about. I mean, Tucker, too, to be fair, because remember, when Tucker was on Fox, was this a central topic for him? Not at all. But now, if he's talking about tariffs, if he's talking about World War II, if he's talking about the atom bomb, if he's talking about Sharia, it doesn't matter where he starts. He, like, always has the same end point.
But I think that's where we are. So let's address this. Why is Israel the perennial now, the hottest topic? I don't think you disagree. It's like it's constant.
Well, I think it's because the issue has bounced from Israel right back into the issue of what is MAGA? Like, what is America first? What do we as conservatives believe? Now, interestingly, if you go back to the Reagan years, there was a very clear sense of who we are, what do we believe, what do we stand for. In the Trump era, it's admittedly a lot less clear because Trump is less ideological than Reagan. As you mentioned, Trump will, you know, he'll meet with Kim Jong-un. He'll sit down with the guy who's, you know, the guy with the ISIS background who is now running Syria. Trump has no problem like sitting down and kind of strong-arming the guy and trying to figure out what he can get out of him. So we are in the Trump era, in a less ideological era. And maybe for that reason, there are a lot of people on the right who are raising the question, like, what do we stand for? Is there anything that we have in common? Yeah, we're a big tent.
Evidenced by the former leader of al-Qaeda in Syria being the dictator. And I get the Democrats did it. You know, I get they overthrew it. I get, you know, Saudi Arabia's got to deal with us. But just the optics of, we all get groped at the airport over al-Qaeda, and then now here's the, you know, former leader of it at the White House. And that's where people are having a problem. And I get Trump's pragmatically just dealing with what he has, but that's what we're talking about.
Well, Reagan was pragmatic in the same way. Look, Reagan funded a bunch of Muslims who were fighting against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan, right? Not because he liked Muslims, but because he realized that the enemy of my enemy is my ally, at least in the short term. Trump recognizes that in the Middle East, both with the Abraham Accords and now with the peace deal, it's nice to have some Muslims on your side. I mean, that's why he's always surrounded by Saudis and Emiratis and Bahrainis. He doesn't want to make this into a fight against Islam. And I think in that sense, he's right.
No, clearly he's trying to get peace, which I think is laudable. So, but I don't think the public gets the sophistication of it.
No, I agree. Now, look, let's come back for a moment to Tucker, and we don't need to focus on Tucker, but I do want to ask
you. No, we can. I mean, he's the big guy of the hour, you know.
Yeah, I think Tucker is the main guy just because with Candace, you know, she's doing her thing. Look, I like Matt Gaetz. I go on his show all the time. I discuss with him these issues. So there's an open-minded discourse going on. Here's my question, and that is in the last really few weeks, Tucker has quite deliberately taken just a series of stances that any one by itself, you could say, well, he's just thinking independently. But if you put them together, it's a very strange pattern, right? I mean, would you expect, let's just say 3 years ago, for Tucker to say something like, you know, Sharia law is not really that bad? I mean, that's not a Tucker thing to say, and yet he said it. Would you expect Tucker to say that the socialist narco-terrorist regime of Venezuela, look, my wife is Venezuelan, she rails about this all the time, that Maduro is, quote, a conservative? Well, I mean, Maduro's a conservative if you consider Osama bin Laden a conservative.
Sure, well, I haven't seen the clip. I know you sent it once, like 3 seconds long. Tucker said Sharia law is not a big deal?
Yeah, Tucker's basically said, well, listen, all these people are dunking on Sharia. He goes, wouldn't I like to live in a society where there's no crime, where it's all very peaceful and orderly? He goes, that's the Sharia law that they're complaining about. What's so bad about that? So I'm paraphrasing Tucker, obviously, but that's what he was getting at. And what I'm saying is, you know, yeah, if you want to live in a society where A, you chop people's arms and legs off, and B, where people who leave Islam are sentenced to death, you will get a very orderly and homogenous society, to be sure. But that's the ideology of ISIS. That's the ideology
of Bin Laden. Well, I haven't seen the clip, but we'll find it and play it coming up.
You should play the clip and listen to it carefully, and you'll be like, that's odd. Again, it's not based upon one thing. Then Tucker will go on to say something like, well, you know, maybe we should have not only allied with Hitler in World War II, but the really bad guy was Churchill. Now, again, I'm all for debating World War II. I'm not saying any of this should be a closed question, but I would be, it's a little surprising thing for Tucker to say, given the intellectual tradition that Tucker and I are both
Yeah, but his
upon.
Angle, like this veteran of World War II, is that why did we fight it? Because now we've been turned over to Islam. I've seen that clip. He's specifically talking about, not that Hitler, the endorsement of Hitler, but why did we fight this and we just turned ourselves over to Islam? Have you seen the clip of the World War II veteran?
Well, I've seen the clip of the World War II veteran, but I want to focus on what Tucker was saying. The United States, by the way, did not get into World War II to fight the Nazis. Let's remember that Hitler invaded Poland in 1939. That's when World War II started. We did not get into it until the Japanese attacked us in Pearl Harbor. So the United States did not get in that war just to bail out Winston Churchill. He was begging FDR to do it. FDR did not do it. The U.S. only got in when we were directly attacked at Pearl Harbor. So again, we should have this debate. I guess my problem with Tucker is he'll have these guests like the nun with the mustache or the, you know, the World War II academic. He does no critical examination, even though I've known him long enough. I know that he knows the counter arguments and the questions to raise. So people will say the most outrageous things, even when Nick Fuentes brought up Stalin. Now, I know you well enough, Alex. You're not a fan of Stalin. I mean, this is the greatest butcher of socialism of all time. This is a guy who killed more people than Hitler. How can somebody say, quote, I am a fan of Stalin, and the guy talking to him not go, wait, stop. Hold on. Did I hear you right? You actually approve of the greatest socialist butcher of all time, the sort of monster of the 20th century? Why is that? How would you defend that? But Tucker's like, interesting. You know, we'll come back to that, and never does. So what I see, it's the pattern with Tucker, I think, that I find disturbing. I don't want him in any way canceled or deplatformed. He has a huge platform, and he'll continue to have it. I'm simply saying I don't agree with him. I don't think he really represents these days what we stand for in MAGA.
Well, I think Tucker's just completely broken with the establishment. I think he's curious. And I think, well, let's get into Mark Levin and Hammer and all them saying, and take him out like a weasel. Clearly, that's backfired on them. I mean, what do you see about that lobby coming after Tucker? Where does that go?
Well, I must say, look, I don't approve of these kinds of like cancellation campaigns. You know, Alex, when years back, when I was at the American Enterprise Institute, this is going back to the 1990s. And there was some controversy around Pat Buchanan, because Pat Buchanan was saying some things about Israel. And I would get, people would be coming around AEI with like a big petition to like get Pat Buchanan's syndicated column canceled. And like, Dinesh, will you sign? And I was like, no, I refuse to sign, because I'm not going to be a part of this. If I wanted to write an op-ed or an article about where I disagree with Pat Buchanan, I'll think about it. I'll do that myself. I don't need to sign your petition. I've never been on board with these sort of cancellation campaigns. I believe in free speech for you and for me and for Nick Fuentes and for Tucker. But believing in free speech doesn't make you immune to criticism. And I think that is really where sometimes people blur the distinction. They're like, you're trying to get Tucker canceled. No, I'm not trying to get Tucker canceled. I'm merely disagreeing with him.
No, that's definitely true. People that on the right and left, when you disagree with them, they say it's censorship. That's not censorship.
No. And, you know, let's go back to Buckley and the old days, because Buckley was a kind of a gatekeeper. I will admit that. But he was not a narrow gatekeeper. You know, the old National Review, which I experienced really just as a teenager, the old National Review was full of kooks, brilliant kooks, but they're all over the place. I mean, there were paleo conservatives and there were Southern agrarians who were against Lincoln, and there were libertarians, and there were people who wanted to dissolve the state. There were traditionalists, so it was people all over the place, from Friedrich Hayek to George Will to a guy named Whitaker Chambers. And Buckley liked it. I mean, the kookier the better. As long as you were smart and you wanted to argue, Buckley was all for it. But Buckley's point of view is, look, it's not unlimited. In other words, we don't want outright lunatics on our side, outright bigots, people who say, like, you know, blacks are like monkeys. That was not acceptable at National Review. Why? Because Buckley recognized that that would smear the entire movement. That would actually take us down. So Buckley's idea was a big tent, but not an unlimited tent. And that's pretty much my view.
My point is that Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin trying to come in and say, I can play the clips. I don't want to play them. I'm sure you've seen them. We're going to deplatform you. We're going to get you. We're going to crush you. You're a fox in the hen house. We're going to neutralize you. It's just extremely aggressive. And I don't think they realize in this hyper-aware, populist, anti-establishment movement, like if I was advising the pro-Likudniks on how to destroy themselves, I would tell them to do exactly what they're doing. I mean, I don't know. I want to believe they're smart. I don't think they're stupid. But this is like, but I get for them personally, it makes them the center of attention, just like those going after Israel. So I think that that's a lot of what's going on here. Is this is a kind of a simplification of the world down to Israel and Islam and pro-Israel, anti-Israel. My big concern is accept it, have a debate, whatever. I just want to call out the fact that there are forces on both sides of this, both in the right wing and the left. It's kind of the third ring. The left's licking their lips over this. And so I'm trying to like get a sophisticated message to people to see this and just pull back that it's not the only game in town. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and look, I'll put it this way. You know, as you know, my son-in-law is a young congressman, the youngest in the GOP. He hears from young people all the time, as I do. And a lot of these young people are very, well, to use your word, anti-establishment. They have been lied to by their professors, by their teachers. They have been lied to by the FBI, by the police state, by the CDC, by the NIH. So they are, I think, rightfully distrustful of authority. And they don't take things for granted because someone said so. I think the problem here is this, that what is happening is that some of these young people are falling for the idea that because they have been, because they have seen all these conspiracies come true, and because they have seen all these institutions lie to them, that therefore there is a sort of master manipulator, a kind of puppeteer of all the puppeteers, the person that is controlling all of this. And that is somehow the Mossad. That's Israel. That's Netanyahu, or that's the Jews. Now, my point is, I can understand how you got there, because you got there by a series of steps where a lot of institutions genuinely earned your distrust. But I don't think that that move is the correct move. Now, I'm happy to debate it. This is not a case where I think that debate should be kind of restricted or shut down in any way. I just don't think it's true. I mean, how can a country of 10 million people with a GDP that is an infinitesimal fraction of ours, that doesn't even have a fraction of the weaponry that we do, how can they possibly, quote, control us? I mean, at the same time, you have people saying things like, Israel is so dependent on us that if we don't give them $3 billion, their country will collapse. And those are the same people who say Israel is so powerful that they own every congressman and every senator.
Now we're getting to the heart of the matter.
Which is it?
Now we're getting to the heart of the matter. Here's the bottom line. The Democrats have record low approval rating, record low fundraising. They're falling apart. There's no doubt Netanyahu and the Israel lobby that backed Trump greatly, didn't get him in, but helped because he saw the left become so anti-Semitic. They're now saying, hey, we want to run things. They're not running things. But by that attempt, it makes the cliche somewhat true in people's brains. And so then they say, oh, that's it. When now we're allied with the left, making that the only issue. I totally agree with China and all the other factions and everything. Israel is just a sliver of that, but the Israel lobby is trying at least to bully its way around the Republican Party and doing it very threateningly and stupidly, so it makes the delusion true. And then that
I think what you're saying is Alex, it's backfiring because any heavy-handed campaign is going to provoke a resistance. I don't think that the Israel lobby, by the way, is less determined or cunning or has more resources than, let's say, the China lobby or the Qatar lobby.
I think China is about five times the influence. So stay right there. Let's go over this. And again, folks, I'm not here as an apologist for Israel. I'm just like, it's just like, come on. All these people waking up only know one thing, Israel. You've got to learn other stuff. And people say, oh, it's a distraction from Israel. No, it's called having a wide spectrum understanding. Well, I want to be 100% clear. I don't get any Israeli money, Qatari money, Ford Foundation money, any corporate money, any banker money. I sell direct products to listeners. This is 15 years ago. The left came after all my sponsors. and harassed them and threatened them, so I lost them. So I said, we'll just direct sale. We kind of built the model that everybody else is using now. You have good products, and you know that's what you do with theauctionshore.com. 50% off a lot of the products right now. Buy one bottle of Methylene Blue, get another bottle free, and a free ball cap, unprecedented sale, collective murdered out InfoWars hat. But I've had the anti-Israel lobby that just makes up constant stuff and is allied with the Islamicists make up countless things about me, all crap. But I've always been fair and criticized Israel and its leaders for doing bad things. I just call balls and strikes. Like, I don't dislike the Chinese people. I think they're great, amazing, but I don't like their communist leaders. So I think, you know, Dinesh D'Souza, of a lot of people out there criticizing Tucker, is one of the most credible because he comes from a place of real discussion. That said, and I don't even want to pay attention to it, but I've been forced to, the level of hatred at Tucker from the American Zionist lobby and the Christian Zionists is foaming at the mouth, and they need to know anything old paradigm is being rejected now by young people and middle-aged folks. Maybe you got some boomers, but I'm telling you, I'm on the street, and I'm just saying this bullying stuff is not going to go well, because look, I'm not stupid. I think second, third, fourth order effects, okay? I don't want Israel driven from the mountains to the sea. I'm not anti-Israel. But all you that are anti-Israel, they got a bunch of nuclear weapons. They're not going anywhere. So this delusional thing to say Israel runs everything and is the only source of any problem on the earth, and to obsess over it becomes a distraction from China and the EU and the censors and the drug cartels and the fentanyl and the pedophiles and Hollywood and the left. So I'm like, intellectually, I know the public, a lot of the public, wants it easy. This football team, that football team. This hockey team, that football team. And people say, well, which side are you on? I'm on Team Humanity. So I could talk about it for hours. The point is, it's extremely frustrating. I saw this big conflagration coming years ago. I tried to defuse it on both sides. Turns out I made it worse, but whatever, I tried. And now here we are going into the midterms coming up, and this is a disaster. Because they've got the polls, that the analytics, like Israel's bigger than inflation. This is cuckoo town. This is like 8 million people or whatever. So, and I get it. Everybody gets to be a drama queen. Netanyahu gets to stay in power. Oh, we're under attack. And then the right, oh, we're under attack. And it's like everybody making this. Like, how did this happen again? It is spiritual. So here's the clip Dinesh is talking about of Tucker and Sharia law. Let's analyze it together.
But you should know, Seth, that the real danger is Sharia law. Sharia law. And you can tell when you go to a place like Abu Dhabi or Riyadh, like, oh man, I hope we don't ever wind up with a society like this with a rape rate of zero, where you leave your keys in your Lamborghini and don't ever worry about it being stolen. And, you know, if people want to get wasted, they do it at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hope we don't wind up with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that, I mean, Sharia law is obviously just a punchline. I don't know that too many people actually believe in the reality of that. And I mean, sure, like I said, you know, I'm a lawyer. I actually studied legal philosophy. Right. Sharia is not that different from other legal codes. A lot of our own legal code, the Anglo-Saxon common law, Anglo-American common law, derives ultimately from religious authorities.
Yeah, religious authority. But I mean, we stone women to death, throw gays off buildings. So I hadn't seen that clip. I get it. I've had those talks with Tucker. He's saying the left is even a bigger threat than Islam. But I do get where you're going. And next time I talk to Tucker, I'm going to ask him about that. So that is a interesting clip.
Yeah, just responding, Alex, to what you were saying earlier. I don't think there's any of us, certainly not me, who believes that somehow Israel is immune from criticism. Just to offer two criticisms. One is somebody was not looking at the border when October 7th occurred. There's going to need to be a big investigation about how that happened. Number two, if Israel had released the footage on October 7th, I think the world would have a much better understanding of what happened. The government of Israel chose not to do that. Had Israel carpet bombed Gaza on October 8th, I don't think that you would have gotten a whisper, or you probably got a whisper, but not, you would not have gotten the same complaints. But because the Israelis dragged it out over 2 years, they became more vulnerable to world criticism. So right here, I've just given you in 30 seconds, three criticisms of Israel that I think should be made. And so this is not about giving Israel any kind of immunity. Second of all, if you were to ask me in America here to prioritize what the Trump administration should be focusing on, I would say, number one, they should be focusing on prosecuting the bad guys in the Biden administration. There are a lot of them. There are only one or two of them that have been indicted.
No, I agree. They're going to come back with the vengeance as they promised if they're not dealt with. They're the coup. I agree. Job number one is that.
That's job number one. Job number two is to go beyond rounding up just mere criminals to finding those 5 million people who came in under Biden under a kind of blatant wink, wink, or even open invitation and send them back. I mean, all 5 million of them. And that is not being undertaken right now. And that is a key priority. A lot of other problems would solve themselves if we did that. Then there are issues of housing. How do you buy a house today when homes that used to cost $200,000 now cost $650,000?
And the Federal Reserve won't cut rates right. So I mean, I agree with this. So let's move to that next. Solutions for America, what the big issues are with Dinesh D'Souza and your new film. So I'm not saying this to the anti-Israel crowd, I'm being completely honest, or the pro-Israel crowd. How do we move away from the central issue? It is a central issue, which is totally insane. I mean, look, okay, I'm sorry 50,000 Gazans are dead, okay? And I'm sad thousands of Israelis are dead. But a million plus dead in Ukraine could destroy the world. Like, if you look at scales, it's not even... How do we extricate ourselves from the whole Israel debate when we've got Netanyahu and all his surrogates grandstanding because they want to play victim because it keeps him in power? I mean, how do we get out of this?
Well, look, whatever Israel does and says, there are huge issues that are going on around the world. The persecution of Christians is going on right now in Sudan. It's going on in Nigeria. It's going on in Syria. I was really delighted to see Trump basically say, hey, listen, you know, either you fix the problem in Nigeria or we're going to come in guns blazing. Now, again, some people hear that and they go, oh, is this going to be World War III? But Trump is not talking here about U.S. troop involvement. He's talking about sending in SEAL Team 6 for 4 days to clean up the problem. And if we're not going to stand with the Christians around the world, who are we actually going to stand with? I mean, are we or are we not a society on a Christian foundation? And are these or are these not our Christian brothers around the world? So I agree, Israel is part of a much bigger situation. Now, obviously, if you're the president, you have to have a foreign policy. You can't say things like, forget about Israel, just focus on domestic problems, because Trump is dealing with international problems on many different fronts. But if you're telling me that domestic problems need to be a political priority, particularly going into the midterms, yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Well, I want to play a clip of Trump here from yesterday, because I know MTG. She comes in all the time. She always says, I love Trump. Overall, 90%+ good. She's only giving advice on what she thinks bad. Trump obviously doesn't see the clips. He believes the reporter and says, oh, she's an actress now. I don't know what happened to her. When all she does is preface that and she's trying to be fair. So, you know, my issue is again, Trump needs to see things before he talks about it. But, you know, overall, the point is that at least as populist, conservative, Christian, nationalist, I'm proud of our party and movement that we are introspective. We do debate. We do discuss. And every time I say one thing a week criticizing Trump, it's international media. Oh, Jones turns against Trump. And it's some edited 10-second clip. That's not what's happening. And so I think it's also important for conservatives to not get mad at an MTG when she levels things that she thinks are credible. A lot of it, you know, I think is accurate. And don't eat our own like the left does because we're not a cult. Here she is. Here's Trump.
Syrian president earlier today, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is a big ally of yours, said that she would rather see you focused on nonstop domestic policy meetings here at the White House instead of nonstop foreign policy meetings. What's your response to her saying that and also saying that grocery prices are up and not down, as you've said?
Yeah, so I don't know what happened to Marjorie. She's a nice woman, but I don't know what happened. She's lost her way, I think. But I have to view the presidency as a worldwide situation, not locally. I mean, we could have a world that's on fire where wars come to our shores very easily if you had a bad president. We had a horrible president, and we ended up with Russia, Ukraine, and we ended up with other disasters, too. Don't forget, I put out 8 wars, 9 to come. I think I'll get the other one taken care of. But I put out 8 wars, and look at the damage that Russia, Ukraine has done to us as a country. I mean, we spent $350 billion. We're not spending any money anymore. Now they pay us through NATO. You know, I got NATO to go from 2% to 5%. Well, that's very important. When you're president, you really sort of have to watch over the world because you're going to be dragged into it. Otherwise, you're going to be dragged into a world war. I think if I weren't president, that war would have never happened if I was president. And if I weren't president, that war could have led to World War III. It won't. It's not going to anymore. But when I first got in, I said, wow, this situation could lead to World War III. And I got NATO together. I got everybody together. But with all of that, I passed a great big beautiful bill, which is the biggest tax cuts in the history of our country. So when somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's now catering to the other side, I don't know what, you know, I guess she's, you know, got some kind of an act going, but I'm surprised at her. But when somebody like Marjorie goes over and starts making statements like that, it shows she doesn't know. I don't devote a lot of my time. Let me give you.
Well, A, the media misrepresents what she's doing, but B, obviously, we're all interconnected. Small world. Trump's trying to stabilize the country, the dollar. All of it. I agree with what he's saying. He's right, but so is she. The media has misrepresented it. But you've got Laura Ingraham attacking Trump last night because the hot thing is to do it, not because the left picks it up. Nobody watches them. The constituency, I get, wants instant gratification. They don't know how far we've moved this quick. And so people say, oh, attack Trump more. I'm like, do you understand that this is very tenuous? I will criticize where there's problems, try to get him back on the straight and narrow. But no, he's a lifeboat we're in. So it's a very narrow tightrope to walk here, in my point. And people better be very careful. I'm not talking about Green or anybody. I'm just saying in general that if Trump fails, you look at the world economy and things, it goes from bad to worse. And that's just Susan.
Yeah, look, I mean, number one, I think we know enough about Trump to realize he is a certain type of personality. He is an absolute, like, alpha male of alpha males. He hates to be criticized. And if you criticize him, he's going to lash out. I mean, that is a given. And it's very different. If you had said the same thing and it was Reagan, Reagan would have been like, well, you know, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's done a great job. But, you know, we need to have a little bit of a talking about this and so on. Well, Trump is going to be like, you're off the reservation. What's wrong with you? That is Trump's personality. Number two. Trump was making a subtle point here. I think that is that while Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying, hey, Trump, you need to pay more attention to domestic issues, Trump is saying, look, these international issues and domestic issues are connected. And so when you look at an issue like tariffs, now, is that a domestic issue or a foreign issue? Well, it's a foreign issue. It involves taxing these foreign countries.
But it's even more domestic. No, he's totally right that it's not even secondary. All his international policy is 100% American-centric.
Yes, and not to mention the fact that the globalists are added internationally. So if you're going to dismantle globalism, you have to do it. You got to take on the World Economic Forum.
Is she mad that they're threatening Starmer and the EU to stop censorship? No, that's directly suing our companies.
Exactly
well,
right.
That's the thing about going to Venezuela. I didn't support these other wars. This one's constitutional. They're doing it. They're funding the Democrats. They're shipping in fentanyl. Thomas Jefferson with the Barbary War, he'd already be in there. This is the Monroe Doctrine. So my listeners get mad at me. They go, oh, now you're pro-war. No, I think it's dangerous. The CIA can set him up. I understand his thinking. Thomas Jefferson would have already hit Venezuela.
Exactly. And Trump's view is we need to have a muscular America First policy that, I mean, look, we hit Soleimani. We hit Baghdadi. Hitting Venezuela is very much in the same idea that we go out there, we clobber these guys, and we come home, and things will be better over there because that's a narco-terrorist regime. By the way, Iran, China, Russia all have their fingerprints in Venezuela. You have Iranians sitting in the Venezuelan parliament. So it's not exactly, Venezuela's become an international playground for a lot of bad guys.
Well, that's putting it lightly. They're definitely involved in election fraud. They're definitely being used as a piggy bank by the Democrats. You want to cut the Democrats off, you got to cut Ukraine and you got to cut Venezuela off. So what about Ukraine? Where do you see that going? I mean, we've got like literal road warrior footage. The Russians are taking towns every day, cities every few weeks. They're just, they can already take the whole thing. They don't want a confrontation with NATO, but they're doing it incrementally. I'm not glad any of this happened, but Trump's trying to shut it down. Where do you see Ukraine going?
Well, I support Trump's efforts to do that. See, this is very different than what's going on with the Israel conflict because
We're supposed to get back to Israel. We're covering up. Exactly. We have 1 million-plus dead, World War III, nuclear war on the table by all analysts. Let's apologize, Dinesh. We're moving away from Israel here. Let's move on. I'm being sarcastic. Yes. So what do you see? One of the biggest threats is obviously this Ukraine thing.
Absolutely. Look, all I was about to say with Israel is that Israel can fight the terrorists simultaneously in Sudan, in Gaza, in Iran, and they've done the bulk of that fighting. By contrast, in Ukraine is more like an ant trying to take on an elephant, or maybe a Russian bear is maybe a better way to put it. The point is, Ukraine cannot even survive without it being made a proxy war for NATO. And that's really what's been going on now.
By the way, I wasn't criticizing you. I was agreeing with you. I was like, yeah, well, we should be talking the whole hour about Russia.
Exactly. And I think Trump's issue here is, how do you get Putin, who is basically now on a kind of victory march, how do you get him to relent? It's, you know, when somebody is seizing territory, one on top of the other, they're not likely to want to stop. They're going to want to say, all right, Ukraine, well, you know, we got this war going. We're going to finish it on our terms. And so I think Trump is trying to figure out a way to make it in the interests of both parties to quit.
Yeah, and I know Victoria Nuland and Obama and the Democrats started it and encircled Russia. Russia's not perfect. My concern is, with the vitriol, with the Russian hardliners, where this wins if we're so weak. So I'm now entering the field house of how do we actually put pressure on Russia to stop?
Yeah, normally there, look, we have limited tools to do that, right? We've already imposed all kinds of sanctions on Russia, so our economic leverage is pretty weak. We certainly don't want to deploy more military resources over there. We want to be pulling back. The problem, I think, for us is not just what's going on over there, but there is a powerful defense complex in the United States that profits immensely from these wars. They make hundreds of millions of dollars per day with these wars continuing. And so dismantling our own domestic kind of war complex is part of what the challenge that Trump is
facing.
And
so MTG should be glad, which I know she is overall. They took it, but this is how, you know, $300 million and all the rest of it, absolutely. Trump's doing the right thing there. But like he said, he's ended 8 conflicts. This one is really... Well, let me ask you this question. You have a lot of sources. NATO talks about this 250,000 man and woman thing they're going to send in. I don't know if they're going to blink. They're talking about $800 billion they're going to spend. Germany is now saying get ready for conscription of men and women. Russia nears biggest gain since Bakhmut. Putin Magmax infantry taking over. I mean, this is... I just hope Russia doesn't get too giddy or high off of this, because this smells really dangerous.
You know, the Europeans really have lost their minds. And I say this because in the era of the Cold War, when you are actually dealing with a Soviet empire, all these European countries were sort of, they were weak. They wanted to make concessions. They wanted to make arms control
deals. They had Stockholm Syndrome.
They had the nuclear freeze movement and the peace movement and disarm now. And now that we don't have a Soviet Union, now that we are in a post-Soviet era in Russia, suddenly the Europeans have become militaristic. They want to have conscription. So these people it's almost like they respond in the exact opposite way that reason and common sense tells you to. When they needed to be tough, they were not. Now that they don't need to be turning up the temperature, nevertheless, they're ready to do it. They're ready to go to fight.
Well, I think that's because the EU is on the verge of collapse. I mean, they admit that. Their foreign ministers and their economic ministers say, our model's a 20-year war with Russia. We believe they'll never go nuclear, and we'll bankrupt them. Well, sorry, Russia's winning. So, oh, my God. And then all Putin wants is a deal for no NATO expansion. They won't do that. So how do you see this ending?
Well, I mean, I think we should. This is a case where that deal is probably a good deal to make. It was not a good idea from the beginning to have Ukraine being invited to be part of the sort of NATO orbit. Look, I mean, if we had a Ukraine on our back door that was once part of the United States and was being heavily armed by our adversaries, we would be nervous. I mean, in that sense, Putin's reaction is not entirely surprising, given what has happened between the Europeans and Ukraine.
And we know the history of the Russians. Year. Once they commit, there's no going back.
Exactly. And now it becomes an issue of national pride for Putin. And this is a war he does. I mean, imagine if Putin fights with Ukraine to a draw. This would be like a heavyweight fighter getting in the ring with a lightweight and they have a draw. That's going to be humiliating for Putin. So I think, ironically, some of these issues like national pride come into play. This is something that diplomatically you have to factor in. How do you get a treaty that also in some ways appeases Putin's ego?
The problem is Zelensky won't even in NATO and their Northern Alliance won't even ever have a discussion. The red line was NATO entrance. They still want NATO entrance. It's crazy. In closing, I think you're the fairest person out there that's not been anti-Israel. You're pragmatic. I agree with you. I'm not anti-Israel. I get attacked by the Israel lobby because I won't just do whatever they say. They are their own worst enemy. In closing, how is there a way to extricate ourselves and move on to the big domestic issues, the war issues? I mean, I guess we're not going to get Nick Fuentes and Mark Levin to stop or Candace. I think Tucker came this curiosity. He got bullied. He got mad. I don't think he's doing it on purpose, but he's a great guy in my view. But definitely this is destructive for humanity. Is there any way to get this to stop? Because it seems to me like drama queen world where, you know, anti-Israel is the center of the world. Pro-Israel is the center of the world. And it's not the center of the world.
Look, I mean, as you know, I did a debate with Nick. I think with Nick, he likes to say outrageous things. I don't even think he's a real Nazi in the sense that he's not going to do the things the Nazis did. And I think you know that. Nick knows that. I know that.
But well, what he says all the time he's edgelording. He says he's being catty.
Right. But the point is, you also have to remember that this is, in fact, a political millstone that will be hung around our neck. So if we basically start joking around with Nick and don't say, hey, Nick, listen, whatever you're saying, that's not what we stand for as Republicans. It's important to say that. Why? Because otherwise the Democrats are literally going to run commercials in which you have Nick Fuentes saying, you know, listen, you know, Hitler was really a great guy. Stalin was really a great guy. And this will appear to be the position of MAGA or America First. They will wrap it around us. They will tie it around
our
neck.
Sure, but what I'm saying is the pro Likudniks know they're adding nitrous oxide to the fire. Like, they're not stupid.
We do need, I think, in my view, it's really important to open up a discussion with young people where they're allowed to say, and Charlie was actually starting to do that, by the way, particularly toward the end, say what you want. Let's hear it out. And let's see if we can have a movement without gatekeepers, or if we need gatekeepers, where are those lines to be drawn? That's the debate I think we have next. We've got some time to straighten this out before the midterms. I agree with you. We don't want this to continue indefinitely, but I think we can be mature enough to sort it out.
I totally agree. I know you got to go, and I didn't hold this to the end to hold you over. We got a two-minute break. I want to play the trailer for your new film, The Dragon's Prophecy, and I've got the book here with the new film. I'm a big fan of all your films, watched all your films. Can you five more minutes with us?
Sure.
All right. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back. Then the supposed January 6th mastermind, good friend of mine, former Ron Paul staffer, lawyer, Army Ranger. We're going to have the great Stuart Rhodes in studio with all this pipe bomber news coming out and more coming up. Don't forget, before we come back with Desha Souza, play this trailer, get a comment from him, and then bring in Stuart Rhodes, that I am not getting funded by Qatar or Israel or the Easter Bunny. I'm funded by you at thealexjonesstore.com, the very best supplements. We have the big sale going on right now, a murdered out limited edition InfoWars black on black hat, free with every order. And on top of it, buy one bottle of methylene blue tincture or pills, one bottle free. It goes for 48 hours till Thursday night at midnight. I sent it because of Veterans Day. We're going to have the ball cap, which is always a big sale. We've done it a few times. You know, people love it, a free ball cap with every order. High quality Richardson hat. But now you get buy one bottle of ultramethylene blue, get one free. That is amazing. We got the best, folks. It will blow you away. It's so good for you. Such great energy. So much more. So take action now. TheAuctionStore.com and get buy one, get one free methylene blue and a free ball cap with every order. All right. Well, Dinesh D'Souza, we had a great hour-long discussion. He's got a punch out real quick. I had a short road coming, but he's got his book, The Dragon's Prophecy. I'm going to read it. Israel, The Dark Resurrection, The End of Days. The Avatar, The Return of the Ancients, and The Future of America. Briefly, tell us about these, and then we're going to play the trailer after you leave. The Dragon's Prophecy, your new film.
Yeah, Alex, the books are actually the work of a guy named Jonathan Kahn, who is a biblical scholar. And so we made the film loosely based on his book. And the film is a way of connecting politics and history and the Bible. So some of the issues we've been talking about have deep roots. They go back to the ancient battles between the Israelites and the Philistines. There's also a hint of biblical prophecy in the film. So the website for the film, I want to mention that, it is thedragonsprophecyfilm.com. It's streaming on multiple platforms. You can order DVDs. It's like the number one DVD on Amazon.
So it's out right now. Well, I'm going to watch it tonight. TheDragonsProphecy.com film?
TheDragonsProphecyFilm.com. Yeah, watch it tonight. I'd love to hear what you think about it.
We'll come back soon. Let's talk about it after I've watched it. Dinesh D'Souza, one more time. TheDragonsProphecyFilm.com.
TheDragonsProphecyFilm.com.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much. All right, here is the trailer for the film. We'll go to break and come back with the evil mastermind of J6, which, of course, he wasn't. No proof of any of that. Now we have the pipe bomber, the feds, all of it. It's all coming out. We're going to have Stuart Rhodes in studio after this quick break. But here is the trailer for The Dragon's Prophecy, Dinesh D'Souza's new hit film.
Then another sign appeared in heaven. An enormous red dragon. Revelation 12:3.
Once again, an armed attack in the Middle East, but this time it's different.
October 7th was the Devil's Holiday.
It's very hard to believe what happened, even though I was there and seeing with my own eyes and seeing them laughing and killing and having fun with it.
Because if you don't open the door, they are going to kill you and they are going to kill me, so please open the door.
So who are the Jews? Who are the Palestinians? And whose land is it really? Could the fate of the world, of humanity itself, be somehow tied to this place?
The nation of Israel is a resurrected nation. So what if there was going to be a resurrection of another people, an enemy people of Israel? The Bible speaks about this whole war as a dragon representing the enemy attacking a woman representing Israel.
The civilian deaths on both sides represent victories on the part of the dragon.
Hamas did everything within their ability to maximize the civilian casualty.
We came back to a land that was largely barren and empty, and we brought it back to life, and we're going to keep it.
The devil hates the Jewish people because they represent the existence of God.
Because without that Jewish foundation, there is no Christianity.
If we're approaching the end of time, God will reveal himself more and more dramatically.
Speak back through the stones.
The story that they've been telling is that Israel is a colonial project. The problem with that is the city of David. We are an inconvenient truth.
Are you aware of any significant archaeological finding that contradicts the Bible?
No.
God's word stands firm. Earth to God. The dragon will not prevail. Earth to
God. Your message here is become a dragon slayer.
That's it.
Based on Jonathan Cahn's number one international bestseller, The Dragon's Prophecy. This film contains graphic violence of October 7th. In theaters only October 6th and October 8th. Streaming and DVD starting October 9th. The Dragon's Prophecy film.
We're 290-something days into President Trump's return. I'm very thankful for how far we've come, but obviously we can critique and do better. Well, it comes out, the pipe bomber influence, you know, Capitol Police, all that. Now the DOJ is all over. They're trying to shut that down. We got General Flynn on yesterday issuing a warning from all the intel he has. They're getting ready to launch domestic terror attacks with the left. You've got people being arrested, shooting at ICE just a few days ago. The left defending that. You've got the government shutdown beginning to get shut down itself. We have the huge Tucker Carlson, you know, free speech demonization operation. You were just listening to Dinesh D'Souza, who I know defended you when you were in prison.
Yes. So
I think he's a very fair guy. I respect him. My issue is criticize Israel all day. My concern is a lot of people that have just woken up, they're kind of babies to this. For whatever reason, they just know the Israel angle of the deep state, which is great. Spend your time on that. But anytime I cover China or fentanyl, or open borders, or Venezuela, they're like, oh, why are you diverting from this? They seem to think it's the only thing. And so it's great to criticize it. And I'm in Tucker's camp criticizing Israel, which he maybe spends 10% of his time on. But it becomes a central issue. So let's finish up with Israel because you wanted to talk about that, then get into J6, get into the big picture, terror attacks, all of it. Stuart Rhodes, founder of Oath Keepers, Army paratrooper, former Ron Paul staffer. You've been on the air with us for many, many years. And, of course, former J6 political prisoner and the guy they said was the mastermind of it all, though we knew day one it was them, and now it's all proven.
Yeah, amen. Now, I'm on the side of free speech in the Constitution. That has to be our bedrock, and that's why I don't like the language coming out of Pam Bondi after Charlie Kirk's assassination, talking about, well, that's why we have to have, you know, hate speech laws in this country. The anti-Semitism is intolerable. I think people have a right to speak their minds, whether they're Nick Fuentes or Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Dinesh D'Souza. Everybody has a right to free speech. So we can't let ourselves go down the road of the United Kingdom. And that's what I see coming out of people like Mark Levin. And I like Mark Levin when he was calling out the election of 2020 as unconstitutional and stolen. He was right on track. It's like I love Dinesh D'Souza because he was defending us, J6ers. He had the integrity to have me on his show while I was in prison.
Oh, that's me. I watch him on Fox, and 95% I agree. But then when he says, I'm going to beat you up, I'm going to get you, you're a Nazi, we're going to shut you up, it's just like, dude, you're a dick. Plus, doesn't he know the people are done with that? Like, doesn't he know the backlash he's going to get, which he's now gotten?
Right. So he's, and like Charlie Kirk said in one of his text messages that came out from Candace Owens, he said, hey, they're starting to act like the stereotype. If I'm being pressured to shut up because they don't want me to say what I want to say about Israeli influence, AIPAC influence in the United States, he said, I'm not going to go along with that.
And now they're claiming those are fake texts, even though everything he says in those texts I found in speeches.
Right.
So they got that's not fake.
No.
I know Candace. She's not perfect. Nobody is. She didn't pull that out of her ass.
So they're trying to suppress this as badly as the left has done in the past. It's cancel culture.
Exactly. Everything they do is, you must do what we say, or we're going to censor you.
All right, so now we're seeing it from the right. And I worry about a sleight of hand, like you talked about. There could be either a real attack or a false flag attack on a synagogue, whether it's by a leftist or by a conservative or, you know, so-called Nazi. But either way, using that excuse to bring us, you know, the camel's nose under the tent of bringing us into a UK-style censorship against hate speech. That's what I worry is coming.
Hey, guys, search this. When I was with Tucker 8 months ago, the last interview before the last, in Florida, Tucker Carlson's worried about a false flag. Tucker Carlson's worried about a terror attack to repeal the First Amendment. And there's two clips. We talk about it quite a bit, but it's only a few minutes long. That was his biggest concern then in mine. And I see now this Tucker thing is they're teeing it up.
Yeah, they are teeing it up. And as a political prisoner who had my free speech used against me, it was entirely my speech alone that was used against me by the judge, including at my sentencing. I'm very sensitive to this camel's nose under the tent, and here it comes. And we will not accept that. Americans have to be firm on the First Amendment. Whether you like someone's speech or not, you have to stand on the bedrock. It's I will die for their right to say it.
Because it's not just their right, it's your right to hear what they're saying.
Sure. Well, it's the Constitution also. But you're
censoring yourself when you censor somebody. Well, you're not getting to hear what they say.
Well, you're destroying your right to free speech. That's the problem.
No, exactly. You're not just getting rid of your right, though. I'm saying you're getting rid of your right to hear what other people are saying. See how that's double-edged?
Sure. So, but you know, that's a sleight of hand they use. Like, we don't like the Red-Green Alliance, and it's a legit problem, the alliance between radical Islam and the communists. And so they're out there, you know, pro-Hamas and all that. And so they say, well, we don't want that on our college campuses, so therefore, and the right will cheer it. A lot of right-wing Christians will cheer it because they're saying this is anti-Semitic. We have to support Israel because they're God's chosen people. And they will just, you know, jump right into that and be like, yes, we have to have hate crime legislation. And then, like the Patriot Act, that was brought in by a Republican, supposedly to get at you know, Islamicist, was swung immediately by Obama on us and then used against us by Biden again. So every time the right creates these new police powers in the name of fighting Islamic terrorism or communism,
turning against us.
That's the sleight of hand, right?
Well, Mark Levin is not stupid, so doesn't he know what he's doing will make Tucker only more popular?
Well, he might just be because he's Jewish. That's his hot button issue. And I went to law school, you know, Yale Law School, with a lot of dual citizenship Americans and Israelis, and so they would admit that, like, hey, I can be unbiased about all kinds of stuff, but not when it comes to Israel. They have an emotional connection to Israel, emotional commitment. No matter, even the atheists, a lot of them are communist atheists, but they were still Zionists and supported Israel. So that could be what it is. It's just a blind spot in his mind. He can't wrap his
head. So they turn off thinking and go, let's attack one of the most beloved reporters and call him names and
right.
join the left in censorship and make yourselves villains. Like, you're idiots. I mean, it's just
yeah.
like...
Yeah,
because listen, I don't want blowing up Israel to be happening. Like, Napoleon said, "Don't interrupt your enemy when they're destroying themselves." Well,
making a mistake. So yes, they're furthering the stereotype, just like Charlie Kirk was pointing out. They're acting like the stereotype that you can't talk, but you can talk to anybody else in the world and criticize anyone else, but you can't touch that. That's the third rail. You can't discuss the Mossad's influence. I mean, Epstein was clearly a Mossad agent. I believe also working for the CIA. And that's just obvious. And so now we have our government under Trump covering for that and protecting pedophiles who were being entrapped and snared and manipulated by the Mossad and by the CIA through
Epstein. So we have to cover it, but it's a paradox and it still makes the main issue. In your hierarchy of issues, we're all interconnected, but not just for Americans. Globally, what's the top issue?
Taking down the evil, demonic pedophile elite. They should be taken down. That's why I've advocated from day one that President Trump should use that absolute power to declassify and expose, to take him down. And he must start with the Epstein list. That is a massive wedge inside of his own base. That's why they're going to lose the midterms.
I agree. That's the biggest hit on Trump.
Yeah. It was all the independents and all the walkaway Democrats who joined President Trump's campaign because he was anti-war and because he was anti-pedophile, anti-elite pedophile. You know, they got disgusted by their own party. I think Tulsi Gabbard's in that same camp. I think she wants to do the right thing. If he doesn't do the right thing, though, it's going to destroy the Republican Party.
Shifting gears to the border and all these attacks on ICE and the shooting at them this weekend, and the left ever shows the attack on the cars or ramming them or attacking them. They just show them slamming people on the ground after attack, and they arrest this Mexican national illegal trying to kill them. They're clearly escalating. I've got articles where Democrat leaders call for aggression. Democrats want scorched earth. What do you expect them to do now?
Yeah, I think they're going to go all the way. I think they're going to continue and escalate the violence against ICE agents. And in their heads, they think that they can probably coerce Trump into stopping any roundups of illegal aliens. So I think he needs to double down. He should invoke the Insurrection Act. I believe he should call us all up as the militia.
Let's explain what that does. And let's be clear. You're a police state expert. 15, 16 years ago, I'm like, I want Ron Paul on about police state. He would come on. He goes, well, Stuart Rhodes is our expert. You know, he's an expert on this. He's a lawyer. You would come on. That's how I met you. This is not a police state. Now, this is a constitutional duty. This is a national crisis. But they've billed it as that. You want to explain to people what these duties are and what the Insurrection Act is?
So from the very beginning of this country, Congress was empowered to provide for calling forth the militia in the Constitution for three purposes. One, to repel invasions. Two, to suppress insurrections, and three, to execute the laws of the Union. And they did that in militia statutes from the very beginning, which delegated the authority to call forth the militia to the President of the United States. He also has an inherent authority as Commander-in-Chief under Article II. So
they're demonizing citizens under the sheriff,
right.
Under the governor, which is constitutional. Now they're demonizing the 100% don't deny militia National Guard. They're saying that's illegitimate.
Right.
So a direct attack on the Constitution.
Right, because the founders' design was we the people are the safest place to have the military power and the law enforcement power. That's why it's key to note that it says to execute the laws of the Union. So really, the FBI and DHS and DEA, all that should even exist. When the president wants to execute the laws of the Union and needs assistance, he should call on us, the people, as the militia. Because they didn't trust standing armies. Well, professional law enforcement agencies are just like a standing army.
And people think that's dumb. Green Berets going to third world country to train the locals. That's the most powerful thing.
Yeah, they were force multipliers. And you could do the exact same thing with all of us if we were organized and trained. And that's why I've been saying this, President Trump should do that. Right now, he should take advantage of this situation because it's a real threat and say, we are facing an invasion, we're facing an insurrection, and we have active.
And exactly, because he set up a 700-person rapid reaction force out of Alabama for 40 million illegals. Now it's up to a couple thousand. That is beyond anemic. What would the constitutional directive be to stand up a domestic army under this emergency?
Call us all up as the militia. Under militia statutes from the founding, that's still to this day, 17 years, age 17 to 45, all able-bodied males are the militia. and for us veterans, it goes to age 64. He could call us all up right now.
And they muster him. They have experts who pick out the best stuff.
He could.
Who could be auxiliary? Who's going to be full time? It's problem solved like that.
Exactly.
Just like Switzerland.
Sure. He could just order all of us come together in our counties and order the veterans to take command, to train the other men and organize them, and then stand to and wait for his instructions. That's what he should do. In fact,
and that's the biggest army on earth.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's the safest army on earth because you can't be terrorized or tyrannized with yourself. If you and your neighbors are the force in your community, how are they going to use
that? Well, that's like what happened in China with Tiananmen Square. They had to send troops from 800 miles away. But when the troops are from your community.
That's right. And that's why we see the elites of both, you know, the Uniparty in this country has let the militia institution die away. They don't want us, the people, empowered like that. They prefer to rely on professional law enforcement because they know they're afraid to lose their job, lose their pension, lose their ability to keep a roof over their family's heads. They know they could be coerced, as we saw during COVID-19, coerced into obeying all kinds of...
Well, it's not a litmus test, but here's my problem. Under a real globalist collapse, which they're planning, 3 million cops and 1 million troops isn't enough.
No, absolutely right. So if, and I believe it's coming, I think General Flynn is correct. I think Sarah Adams is correct. I mean, there's a bunch of people out there that are counterterrorism experts been saying they are going to launch October 7th style or Mumbai style terrorism.
Oh, they didn't pre-deploy all this for no reason.
And Matt Brackett's been talking about that too, right? It's coming. So when it comes, and they'll use, and China, of course, is another enemy of ours, they'll use their drug cartel proxies, whether it's Trendyahwa, whether it's MS-13, and all the other affiliated
Latin
gangs.
Kings.
Latin Kings. Yeah, you know, Latin Kings now issuing shoot-on-site orders against the ICE. So Trump, what President Trump should do is, like I said, call us all up and say, given this threat that we know they're going to, you know, you've got Al-Qaeda bragging about October 7th style attacks in the United States coming up. In light of that, bring us all out as the militia, call us into service and have us organize at the county level in each state.
Well, that's the thing. The left always tells you what they're scared of. Trump stands up a few thousand troops. If a city's already burning, they go martial law. That's totally constitutional.
Yeah, it's not martial law.
That would do nothing. But imagine if he stood up the militia, they would just shut down because they would know it's done.
Well, I mean, they might try to go full bore. And so he's a dictator. But then we get the fight over with at that point.
But they've already said that. But that's the plan. They're going to create the civil war and hope he's not ready. We have to get ready before.
Yes.
Here's the thing, guys. I'm anti-police state. They initiated this. Abraham Lincoln wouldn't be putting up with this.
Well, here's one way to look
at this. What would Abraham Lincoln do at this point?
Well, he's a bad example because he violated the Constitution.
No, I understand that, right? But, you know.
But, no, he called up the militia. That's what he did. He called all the Northern Army was created out of the militias in the North. But that's back when they actually had militias. Now we only have the National Guard, which is the select militia, very small fraction of the American people. I'm just saying President Trump has the authority to call up not just them. They are.
So what is the model then?
What's the model?
Oh, it's the Constitution, but in modern parlance, how would he sell it?
Well, he would say that the American people must prepare for what we know are coming in terror attacks. I want the veterans, I mean, everyone loves veterans, right? At least they claim to. Now, today's Veterans Day, he should say, we're going to call up the veterans in this country to stand up and be prepared to defend their communities against terrorism. Who can argue with that, you know? So whether it's terrorism in the form of Islamic terrorists, which is very likely, but also, who knows how many Chinese-aged males are here from China? It could be they're all proxies for China.
I mean, literally, we have hundreds of videos of they're all the same backpack, same boots.
Yeah.
You could tell they're officer class. They're not recruits. They got Chinese officers flooding in.
Yeah, I would say.
And they spot checked some they were.
I think they're Chinese special warfare officers. Yeah, absolutely. So they're here for a reason. So you should say this is the threat, and at least half the country would be on his side. The other half, it was scream and yell, but it's like, just do what you got to do. And once we're organized in our counties, they can't unring that bell. Because even if they order us to some judge passes some edict that, you know, we have to disband or some nonsense.
Well, here's the problem with the war. You know this. We need to hit them first before they launch whatever they got planned. They caught the Chi-Coms, the telecom takeover grid in New York. And you got all these videos of military-age men shot, you know, 30, like you said, officer class coming in. They got something nasty planned. You know, Flynn, every time he says something, it comes out 6 months later. He's like, I guarantee you, he's getting all the intel.
Right.
And I'm telling you, they're planning mass asymmetrical attacks.
And it's not the only one saying
that. I've been interviewing him for a decade. He's never talked like that.
Right. And he's not the only one saying that. Like I said, Sarah Adams, you can call over the web. You can go on Sean Ryan's podcast and find multiple interviews he's done with people talking about this threat. It's coming. It's going to happen.
And it's not one big 9/11. It's thousands of attacks.
So what I worry about is people like Peter Thiel, the technocrats, they would want to take that chaos, and their answer would be Terminator Land. Well, okay, only to be safe now is we need biometric ID We need, you know, digital ID, environmental tracking, gait recognition, facial recognition, absolutely everywhere, like Minority Report. That's your only way to be safe. And a lot of conservatives, if they allowed Islamic attacks like that and we were not organized to defend our communities, a lot of conservatives would cheer for it, just like they did post 9/11. Exact same play.
Well, just like we have Trump meeting with the former head of Al-Qaeda at the White House, and now we're told to forget about that. And I get Trump didn't do the overthrow of Syria. I get they want a stabilization force. But how do you tie that into all this?
Well, I mean, it's a legit threat. The Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated our politics. So the United States, in many ways, has been played and infiltrated by multiple foreign entities. China for sure, Muslim Brotherhood, and all their radical, and that's a legit threat. I think Ayaan Hirsi Ali has been correct about that. She said the true nature of Islam is to create a caliphate worldwide. It's a totalitarian political system, not just a religion. So I think she's correct about
that. That's what the Quran says is her plan. I mean,
pardon?
Quran says that's the plan.
Exactly. And John Guandolo has been warning about this. They're correct about that. Now, on the libertarian side, like Ron Paul, my old boss, they'd say, well, but a lot of that is because of our foreign policy. I think that's also accurate. Our foreign policy in the Middle East is stabilized.
Well, sure, we went and blew them up to bring them here.
Right.
We're told we're fighting them over there. No, we're blowing them up to bring them over here.
Right, so all the destabilization in the Middle East has caused a dysphoria into the West, into Europe, into the United States by Islam. And that's by design by the world elites, of course.
Of course.
They're using them as force multipliers. So you can look at the Islamists as being sincere jihadists, but also being manipulated by the world elite to destabilize and destroy the West.
No, but I 100% agree. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
We got our balls grew up. We get put in scanners because of a terror attack where the so-called pilots were really CIA Mossad operatives. That all came out. Mainstream news, folks. The jets were remote-controlled. And now here we are for another big attack. They're getting ready to attack us again, this time with real fighters. And at the end of it, we're all under drone total surveillance once we, quote, beat the Islamic attack. But the real attack is letting them do this to set us up for the police state.
Right. That's why the answer has to be always going back to the founders' design of the Constitution. That's why you got to go back to the militia. And, you know,
combat robots don't protect us.
We do.
We don't trust them. We want the militia.
And frankly, if we're going to have...
Just like concealed carry, which isn't even constitutional, but people go get it. They never commit crime. They're following the system. That's a microcosm of people that go into the system, don't commit crime. But under the Constitution, we create militias. They're there, and it's like a civil defense for fires, everything. Shouldn't it be like fire departments volunteer? All of it is all integrated into one deal?
Well, half the fire departments in the United States are volunteer. That's like your last residue of the militia concept.
That's what I meant, though. It should be that model.
Yeah, well, the militia should be available for all those.
Like the sheriff's department's going into a hostile environment or a gang shooting or a home invasion or a domestic dispute, and there's not enough deputies, and they just hit a button, and there's five people right in the 2 miles from there that are trained and ready. They just show up as backup.
Yeah, exactly.
The sheriffs would welcome that.
And we've done that. I mean, Sheriff Arpaio in Maricopa County, Arizona, had a 3,000-man posse at one time. That's a perfect model for what can be done. So he had the availability.
And crime went to almost zero.
Right, because he had a lot of power. And also, when he was standing down the
Obama. And that scared the feds.
It did. Sure, it's a lot tougher to take Sheriff Arpaio down if you're Obama, for example, when he's got a 3,000-man posse around him. So that's the model all sheriffs should be doing. They're not, though. That's the problem, is that our governors have dropped the ball and not organized militias. Our sheriffs have not organized posse. And so,
which is really just the human intelligence element.
Well, it's human intelligence, but also, like you said, a response for natural disasters. I mean, we did 14 major hurricane relief missions with Oath Keepers, and we saw over and over again that the current serving law enforcement and fire department and search and rescue are always overwhelmed after a
major disaster. And plus, in Austin, they wouldn't send them out. They're politically correct.
Right. In the Hill Country, right. In the Hill Country flood.
So, again, right. That's why you checkmate that.
Yeah. So the local, and you saw that with the Hill Country, the best way to provide security in our country for disaster relief and also for man-made disasters, whether it's riots or insurrections or invasions, is us, the people, designed by the founders to be the militia. That was their ideal. So that's what we have to get back to. And there's no other way around it. You're not going to be secure or safe without that. You're going to be free or safe without it. So we have to reinvigorate it. Now, will President Trump do it? I hope so. The trajectory right now, though, of the Trump administration is not good. I don't see them doing what's necessary.
Well, let's talk about that. And it's very fashionable to bash Trump right now as the media picks it up. And they twist what I say. But when we do it, seriously, it's about getting him a course correction. But, yeah, he's getting a lot of heat from MTG, Laura Ingraham, everybody right now. And he should know that that's a serious situation. Why do you think it's happening?
Well, he's being led off course. I think they're correct in their criticisms. You know, I don't like what I see coming out of, like the other night when we were talking, I talked about how, you know, he should be firing Kash Patel and Bongino and Pam Bondi and Todd Blanche. They should be, this first thing you should do is fire those four people, because they are not going after, like Dinesh D'Souza said, the most important thing, and you agreed, most important thing is going after the criminals inside the Biden administration who pulled a coup. They pulled a coup in 2020 and 2021, and they went after their political opponents like crazy.
I love how blind Todd Blanche is, because in the last 48 hours, I'm not going to say it, but he didn't know the heat he would get saying, I'm fringe, don't defend Alex Jones from deep state attacks. He told ABC News that, all of them. And then now they want to, oh, you know, let's meet. Let's be nice.
No, he needs to be rooted
out. And it's like, oh, you pat me on the head? And I go, well, he stabs me and then wants to, like, while I'm sinking under the ocean, pat me on the head. It's just like, do they think we're idiots?
I don't give quarter to anyone like that. He needs to be purged out and fired. And I say,
well, I love
thing.
How he assaults me and everybody. And then we attack, and now he's freaking out. It's like, dude, you're the fringe. This is a war, dude. Like, it's just like, it's so retarded.
Right.
Plus, I put no faith in that. Like, what, you want to, you know, you want to meet with me? What are we supposed to talk about? Like,
you know? No, he wants to try to co-opt you. So, you know, you can't do that, right? You're not going to meet with him. Todd Blanche?
Well, I met with a bunch of them. But
Todd Blanche?
Yeah, I met with a bunch of them over the years, but I didn't ever get what they want.
I think you should be fired, period.
Well, it's probably not worth my trip. I probably won't do it. I shouldn't even say this. In fact, I was joking, folks. Don't worry about it. The point is, they're on the rocks.
Well, I hope so.
But I love how he attacked me publicly and thought that would be good for him. Like, dude, you're in your little lawyer Democrat bubble. Your world's over, dude. It's over. You're the dinosaur. You're Tyrannosaurus Rex. You're in a fossil find. Tucker and I were just talking last week about the Civil War, and I haven't read this text he sent me, but I think it's really powerful. So I told him, I said, be careful, and I'm going to pull the quote up in a minute, but it was powerful. Bottom line, we have the initiative. We're winning. We were talking about Trump during the break, too. It's the last person he talked to. He has good instincts. He's a good guy. He's 79. He's overwhelmed. And I'm not even just defending him. This is the reality. And so I know he's called in Todd Blanche and Pam Bondi when they finally indicted Comey and others, Letitia James and the famous neocon. But it's not enough. So, you know, the big deal is agitate, because Trump will listen to something he sees on air or a clip he's given more than something he even sees on Fox News. So what's your message to President Trump, Stuart Rhodes?
To do what he was saved in Butler to do. God saved him from being assassinated for a purpose. It's to take down the deep state. And that's the only way to actually save this republic. Everything else that he's being distracted with is nothing near important as that. That's why he can't just be going after the people that, I believe what's happening with Todd Blanche and Pam Bondi is they're placating him by going after the ones involved in the 2016 Crossfire Hurricane. That's what they're stopping, though. They don't want the actual deep state attacked. So President Trump needs to realize he's being played again by the Attorney General, just like the first time around with Bill Barr. And he needs to just face the music. And the reality is he's being misled into not taking the action that will actually save this country, and instead being focused on other things to distract him and run the clock out. And so I would encourage him to empower Tulsi Gabbard to continue to look into foreign involvement in Charlie Kirk's assassination. I think she's on the right track. And he should further go back to the idea of declassification to expose all of them. And he has to revisit the Epstein situation, however screwed up it might be and tainted it might be by bad guys inside CIA. He should still go down that rabbit hole, because that's what his base expects. And we know there's smoke, there's fire. He was part of an Assad CIA operation to blackmail elites and control them. That's how they do it. It's how they've always done it. So he needs to go after the heart of the deep state. And he's probably being told, hey, if you do that, it'll crash our economy. It'll destroy faith in our institutions and take down governments all over the world, because all those elites are being blacked by Epstein also. Well, I say, well, if that's what it takes to defeat the deep state and defeat these demonic pedophiles at the top, then do it. Let's get it over with now while you're still commander-in-chief. I said this back in his first term. If there's going to be a fight, I believe there is in this country, get it done while you're commander-in-chief, and let's get it over with.
And by the way, you predicted from prison before they banned you. We don't air for like a year on my show. You said he will be reelected. You predicted it all. We had a final interview. That was powerful.
Yeah, well, I knew he was going to be indicted, because I could tell what the persecutions of us was all set.
No, but you predicted he would then win, we would retake the country.
Wow, we certainly had faith and hope, yes.
I don't think you remember. You said He's going to be indicted, just like me. They're going to try to put him in prison. It's going to backfire. America's going to rally, and he will be reelected. Then that's the real fight. You don't remember that?
No, I really don't. But
you did say
it. I'll take it.
Well, let me tell the archivist. Tell the archivist, find the interview. When had you been in jail? Like three, four months. You, remember you came on, you got banned for a while?
Right, right. Yeah, I came out
in Florida or something? Where were you?
Yeah, no, I was in Virginia.
All right.
Alexandria, Virginia.
But okay, well, when was the interview you did, then they banned you from doing interviews?
I think it was with Harrison on American Journal.
You were with me, too.
Was it? Okay, yeah.
I'm trying to give the archivist the thing. Sure. You literally, you don't remember this?
No, I really don't, yeah.
No, you said we will.
Okay.
He will be indicted. It's the same plan.
I knew that was going to happen.
They will be defeated. He'll be reelected.
Right. You
remember all this?
Well, I always held faith that what man means for evil, God will use for good. Just as a story of Joseph, and that's what's happened. I believe that that's played out. So long as it's like the founders had a saying, you know, duty is ours, results are God's. So long as we do our duty, that's when we rely on divine providence for the outcome. But we have to.
By the way, I've experienced that over and over again. I always just, it was the right thing to do. I don't give up. But every time I go through some horrible thing, major doors open.
Yes. And like right now with Veterans Day, we need to remind ourselves and renew our commitment to being as resolute as they were. You know, all the men that died throughout our history, serving our country, remember them today and recommit to preserving what they fought for. Otherwise, it's for nothing.
Well, look at Ticonderoga enough. You know, right. Hauling those giant guns they captured.
Yeah, that's right.
All those miles, no shoes, a trail of blood.
Yep.
People don't do that today.
Well, we have. I mean, every generation in this country has fought. A lot of good men that are alive today fought hard in Iraq and Afghanistan. Of course, they came home, you know, dispirited about what they were actually doing over there and why.
I'm not lessening them, but reading about the Revolutionary War, there was some spectacular
stuff. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Henry Knox, that was the brilliant leader that did that. He wasn't even a military veteran, just a really smart bookseller that realized he taught himself how to use artillery and realized the utility of those guns and like you said, drugged them.
Biggest guns in North America. Well, you know Ticonderoga. Tell the story there.
Yeah, so he went there and in the middle of the winter drugged those guns to Dorchester Heights above Boston, and that's what drove General Gage out of Boston. He could no longer occupy the harbor. He'd have all his ships shot to hell by those massive cannon. So it was a brilliant move. And that was a guy who was not a military veteran, but was a really sharp, loved his books and did his own research on artillery. And so, and in fact, a lot of General Washington's best commanders, Nathanael Greene's another one, were not prior service. So the point
he was a Quaker,
right? But he was just another smart guy. Him and Knox would sit together and self study. And so, message to all of
the Quakers were anti-war, but they got involved in this war.
That's right. So. But whether you're a veteran or not, you're an American. And all the men out there, take responsibility for being the protector of your family and your community and your nation. And let your fear go. You can't be dominated by fear. As long as we're fearless.
And like a breed of dog, though, as Americans, we are those people. We have to step into that.
Yeah, and it's still there. It's still in your blood. It's still in your history. So we should not say, oh, the modern Americans are too soft. That's what the Japanese thought, right, before they attacked us. They thought America, look at the roaring 20s and decadence in the United States. They thought they're soft. They'll never do anything. Let's go ahead and you know, attack Pearl Harbor and take all of Asia. And they found out very quickly they were wrong about the American character. So the same is true for today. Be careful about falling in for the trap of demonizing your own people.
What about the left? 40-plus days of shutdown. Now beginning to end, it'll take weeks to unwind it. Polls show 80-plus percent blame them, which they are behind it. What makes them do that? Like, they're just...
Well, it's scorched earth. For them, it's anything it takes to gain power or to discredit their enemies. And, you know, they've lost sight of what it means to be an American. That's what I believe. Like, most of them hate this country.
Well, I think Hajime Jeffries didn't lose sight. He loves it.
I got a good story.
Like, how could you be such a piece of shit?
So, I just met a lady in Chicago
That's my question, though. How do they find leftists? What's wrong with them?
Well, they're indoctrinated in college campuses. And then the teachers they go to college to become a teacher. They're indoctrinated in Marxism to hate their own country and hate themselves. And then they go on to teach that in high schools and down to the elementary school level. All the kids are being indoctrinated. So a lady I just met in Chicago just became a citizen. She's from Mexico, came the legal route, became a citizen, was sworn in. The judge presiding over her swearing-in ceremony said, I don't understand why anyone would want to be a citizen of this horrible country. That's what the liberal judge presiding over the swearing-in ceremony for new citizens said. That's the mindset of liberals. We don't understand why you want to even be here. This country's horrible. The immigrants are like, hey, we love this country. We want to become Americans because America's a wonderful country. But the left here, they've been indoctrinated by the professors. You know, the communists did the long march, the institutions, and took over education. That's why I believe everyone should pull all the kids out of public school. You can't repair that anymore.
And the private school's been infiltrated.
Yeah, and Christian schools and churches. Yeah, it's infiltration across our entire society. Now, the good news is a lot of people have seen it and see it for what it is. And so the more they lie and the more they attack us, the less effect it has. That's the good thing. So the red pill is very real. But the problem is now people are saying, okay, now we see what's being done, but what are we going to do about it? That's where we have to push President Trump to do it.
I agree. I think criticism of Trump when he's wrong is great. But people also can't have instant gratification. They have to celebrate the victories we've had. How do you make that split between that?
Well, I would say, hey, we applaud him for things he's done right, but we have to focus, I would say positive pressure. I believe we should have a massive rally in D.C. outside the White House calling on him to fire Bongino and Patel, Bondi and Blanche as job one. Fire them and put somebody in there who will actually take the fight to the bad guys that bring the focus back to.
Well, I know this. Unless they kill Trump, which I pray doesn't happen, he's not going to put up with them much longer. I know behind the scenes and publicly, he's told them, we have all this evidence. Tulsi Gabbard's delivered all the proof. He's like, you do it or you're fired. And they sit there and glaze him and do all this. But
yeah, well, maybe make it characterize it as we're supporting him in doing that. We've heard that you are going to drop the hammer on them. We encourage you to do that. We want you to do it. Your base wants you to
do it. Who does he replace them with?
Good question. I mean, hey, Carl Serafin might be a good guy for the FBI. I'll take a whistleblower who got kicked out because he wouldn't go along with their nonsense. I'll take that guy as an FBI director. Or someone like General Flynn, like you were talking about. Bring somebody in who can do it, has a skill set to do it, but also is committed. That's what he needs.
Yeah, well, I asked Flynn that question. He's like, well, they'll try to block my confirmation. You force it through, or who Flynn recommends. And, at the same time, I think you put a Ed Martin.
Do a recess appointment.
You got the Missouri AG. I know that Ken Paxton is running for Senate, but he would be good.
Yeah, I mean, do a recess appointment. Wait till the Congress is out of session, do a recess appointment, and just rinse, repeat. Get circumvent Congress. And the problem we have in our country right now, and this is also partly part of Trump.
Yeah, even if they deny the confirmation, you can still put them in as an attorney, and they're the shadow boss of the person.
You can do a recess appointment while Congress is out. But Congress is not in session. The president has the power to do recess appointments.
But he can also put people in he wants that are the, quote, consultant to whoever we get through.
And he should. Like he's talking about putting them, if we get the attorney general's name, from which state was that?
Missouri, right. Texas, yeah.
Putting him in as assistant to the director, right?
Well, he's already the deputy head of the FBI to replace Patel.
Right.
So they've already got him ready.
So make him a recess appointment. That's what I'm saying. Whoever he's going to pick, wait till Congress is out of session and do the appointment at that time.
So the time we have left, other big picture, what else is on your radar?
Well, I'm relaunching Oath Keepers because I believe our mission of devotion to the Constitution is critical. We've gotten arrows from the very beginning from the bad guys because of a very good reason. They fear the message. If we get enough people to understand the responsibility under their oath to defend the Constitution across the spectrum in our government, especially in the military and police, we win. The bad guys lose, and they know that. That's why they attacked us and demonized us from the very beginning. Still an important mission. And also I see what's going on with Antifa in the streets. It's an exact replay.
Attacking last night.
Just like in 2017.
TV USA.
Right. So we wound up in Berkeley twice. We saw what's going on in Berkeley, people being attacked in the streets. And we went down there along with the Proud Boys and 3%ers and other groups came together. And we protected successfully two of them.
They were so scared of that.
Right. And they couldn't shut us down. We were able to successfully hold free speech events in Martin Luther King Park, downtown Berkeley, because we were there. That's what we'll have to do again. So why don't we rebuild it? Once we have enough manpower to do it, we'll do the same thing again. Because I consider it my oath responsibility to protect Americans' free speech.
So you were accused, and in your whole trial, people don't know any evidence of anything, literally nothing.
Nothing.
A mastermind of J6. I was there planning what if Antifa attacks the day before. I was supposed to lead the Trump march. We had a whole stage set up. We were all set up. We know that now. But what do you make of the pipe bomber being Capitol Police, CIA? Now they're trying to suppress it. How bizarre is it to be blamed as being the mastermind? We now have Pelosi admitting it, all of them. I mean, this is wild.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see the truth coming out, and I feel vindicated. But it's not at all a surprise to any of us J6ers. We knew that from the very beginning. But it's important that the American people now are now seeing it. The more the American people will now know the truth. It's kind of hard to shut the truth away now. So
as long as we're talking about J6, we don't know. You're the supposed mastermind. I was there, blamed for it. they tried to put me in prison too. I mean, it's not like we're just up here talking. We were there.
Right. In all of our trials, every one of us was called the mastermind. It was really weird. So in the Proud Boys trial, like for Joe Biggs, for example, oh, he's the mastermind. Well, no, Enrique Tarrio's the mastermind. I'm the mastermind. Everyone's trial, they got, you know, elevated into some kind of position as being a mastermind. That's just part of their demonization for that jury, for that person. Then they get a conviction and say, see, there really was a conspiracy. Or they coerce a guy. Like President Trump said himself, it's a nasty system. A man could be, you know, threatened with 30 years in prison, take a deal. And every time they pled out to something, they'd say, see, another one's pled guilty. So it was all about creating the false narrative of J6 was an insurrection. And then President Trump.
And you're in jail in solitary confinement with no money. And you didn't, you know, plead guilty. But other people did because they could. Like Owen went to jail. He was with me saying, don't go in the building. But after $500,000, he just said, okay, I'll plead guilty.
And I don't fault the guys that pled guilty to something like that. The guys who pled guilty to seditious conspiracy, I consider traitors because that helped the false narrative.
Yeah, they went with the thing that was a conspiracy.
They went right with the big lie.
Didn't you? I know Roger got approached and others that have used turn against them to leave you alone. Did they ever come to you and say that?
Not directly. They sent us a nasty letter saying you're all going to be, you know, you're charged with seditious conspiracy. We're going to ask the judge for life in prison. And if you want to make a deal, you have like 2 weeks or whatever it was. That was their only real offer. But I told my lawyers, tell them to stuff it. I threw that thing in the trash. I threw it down my toilet. So, because I'm not for sale. But there were some people who took the deal and they pled guilty to seditious conspiracy. They didn't see one day in jail, one day in prison.
But that's why it's so great that you're out now. It's isn't it surreal?
It is. And I'm grateful to President Trump for setting us free on inauguration night. We still deserve pardons. There's still 12 of us left. I believe 8 of us are veterans.
Yeah, why'd they commute your sentences instead of pardons?
My guess is that someone in President Trump's circles is a bad actor that wants the false narrative.
I'm told it's Todd Blanche.
Might be. And that wants the false narrative that really was something there. And that they can say, and they are saying it now, you can go find it online, oh, that's why they weren't pardoned, because they really were involved in a plot. I think they want the false narrative to live on.
Plot. We're having dinner the night before, the day before, like, what if anti-vax attacks? What do we do? Well, we don't fight. We defend the police and retreat. We're in these meetings.
Yeah.
Then it's like literally you're planning to storm the Capitol.
Yeah, the only focus was on Antifa. That's why everyone was wearing, you know, gloves and goggles and helmets, was because of Antifa. That's it. But they completely ignore that and pretend like it was all about attacking the Capitol. It's just complete false narrative.
Well, I love how we got let into it because, you know, like they brought me to lead the march. The march is already going. They set us up.
Well, sure. They saw the pattern in November and December. We all marched from down like Freedom Plaza or down by the White
House. We had two marches with 500,000 people.
Right. All the way up to the Capitol for additional events, permitted events all around the Capitol, all planned. They saw that pattern on J6, exact same thing.
I did a Georgia march.
Same thing. So they saw the pattern.
And my specialty is not storming Capitol buildings.
Right. So they took advantage of what they knew was going to happen. They knew we were going to march from President Trump's event down at the Ellipse up to the Capitol for additional permitted events already pre-planned around the Capitol, as we had done in November.
Which he said, march peacefully.
Right. And he was just recognizing what was already going to be going on. He didn't give us an order that, you know, out of the blue. It's like, oh, I know you're going to be going to the Capitol.
No, I said weeks before, we're going to lead a march, I'm told.
Right. So, and that's within your right. Every man, every woman, man and woman in D.C. that day had a right to peacefully assemble and petition government for redress of grievance, a constitutional protected right of free speech and assembly and association. And we were there to protest against a legitimately coup and fraudulent election, fraudulent, illegal, and unconstitutional. So that's why we were there, and we were right to be there. So I've had people attack me. It's like, well, you say you don't have any regrets. I don't regret being there because we had a right to be there. I don't regret providing security for people that were there. We had a righteous mission to protect people from Antifa. I regret that anyone went inside. If I could go back, I'd be like, hey, don't go, you know, make sure no one goes inside, because that's their play. That's the only thing I regret, though. Of course, I regret the people that were murdered by the federal government, like Ashley Babbitt and Roseanne Boylan, and the other two gentlemen, I believe, were caused, you know.
Yeah, and they're not going to be able, they're trying to suppress this pipe bomber thing. It's not going to happen. What happens when that comes out?
Well, when that comes out, what I expect to have happen, I think Kash Patel, because he's been compromised, to me it's obvious now, I think he's going to spin that and try to say, oh, they got the wrong person. Or a fallback would be, well, that was some kind of an anti-terrorism drill. They were running a drill. It was a fake bomb. It wasn't real. It had nothing to do with J6, just a drill they were running that night. That's what I think they're going to probably do, some kind of excuse like that, try to cover it up. That's what I expect to see Kash Patel do, which is why President Trump must fire him.
What about a new viral release? We've got Fauci and all of them saying, don't worry, a new one's coming. I'm really worried about them releasing a new virus.
Well, sure. I mean, but they played that before. I think that's going to have less impact now. People that got the first jab because they were fooled, didn't get the boosters because they started to realize, wait a minute, I got played. I think that card is harder to play. I think it's more likely, like General Flynn was saying yesterday, I think it's more likely they'll pull the terrorism card next. Because that'll be the false choice. And you got Palantir, you got Peter Thiel worming his way into the Trump administration through J.D. Vance. He's right there now in inner circle. And I could see that being his play, is have the terrorist attacks be their excuse for launching the Terminator to land future that they want.
I'm happy to criticize Palantir all day long.
Right.
I'm happy to criticize Palantir all day, but you've got all the other AI and big police state systems too.
Sure. But Palantir is the one that's been involved in foreign operations for the U.S. military for targeting, right? That's what they've done for the U.S. military. And now they're starting doing it here at home. So you have police departments now using that same technology here at home for law enforcement. So I just worry. I don't trust Peter Thiel, whether I can chuck him. I'm concerned that in his world, he wants that kind of control. And he doesn't really want we the people to be re-energized and strengthened. Instead, he wants that false choice. Well, hey, if you want to protect it from radical communists and Islamic terrorists, the Red-Green Alliance is very real, but use that to then have us be the false choice on the political right, which is more what we got from the neocons.
What do you predict with Mondami?
Mondami? I think he's going to go full libtard. I mean, he's already that way, right?
He says he's going to seize property.
He might, yeah. So I think President Trump, under the Insurrection Act, when he starts to violate the rights of American citizens, President Trump can step in and use the Insurrection Act and say, you are now... either refusing to protect the rights of the American people or you are directly violating their rights, I'm going to step in and stop you. You can do that using the U.S. military and the militia, we the people.
What do you think just happened last week with this off-year election, with Democrats sweeping? I saw a lot of election fraud, but also saw a lot of Republican atrophy.
Well, the big problem is across the country, President Trump has been endorsing absolutely horrible candidates, like pro-war, big government neocons that the Libertarian and the Ron Paul Republican.
Well, Governor Cuomo. You wonder why Mondami won. The Republicans didn't push him, but he was the candidate.
Right. So I think across the country, President Trump is losing support in his own base, and the ones that he's picking for candidates are horrible. So the Republican Party has not learned anything. Trump won because the average working man trusted him to be the Molotov cocktail against the establishment. That's what Michael Moore first described President Trump back in 2016. And he was right. That's why he won. And he won in 2024, when we won all three elections, because the average working man believes President Trump has his interest in mind and is really going to fight for we the people. But now, if he's not actually following through on his commitments, he's going to lose his own base support. And they don't like what they see when it comes to foreign intervention in American politics. You know, that is a wedge now, that the Israeli issue has become a wedge inside the political right. And it's something that I never really paid a lot of attention to, but I don't like AIPAC's influence over...
No, I don't either, but it's definitely being used to take the oxygen out of the room.
Well, sure. But the problem is there's some truth there. There really is a problem, and his base doesn't
want... And then Levin and all them act like such monsters, it adds credence to it.
Right. And so you've got Trump won all those three times because of a massive number of walkaway Democrats like Tulsi Gabbard, Robert Kennedy Jr., but there were other Democrats who left the Democratic Party and walked away, and a large number of independents. I mean, there's more independents in this country registered as independents than there is any other political party. So they're the ones that brought Trump into office all three times. It's the working man independent.
Exactly. He needs to refocus on that. Right. By the way, I forgot to ask, every time you're here, are you on the War Room with Herschel Smith?
I am, later today, that's right.
Good. What time?
I believe I'm coming on right after this, but I want to show you
something. The crew did it. Hold on, don't leave. I love the crew. But anytime I have a big guest, we're like, hey, boss, we get a big guest on. Should be on your show first. I'm like, no, I want the other shows that are just as important as mine. Brianna Morello, Harrison Smith. I want the big guest on there. So that's great. So you're on like 3 minutes?
I think so. We're back.
Oath Keepers.
That's right. We're back.
So what's the website?
Oathkeepers.info. And if you want to support the rebuild, if you don't want to be a member directly, you can join. If you don't want to, for whatever reason, you can support us by going to givesendgo.com/oath and donate to support the rebuild. And
what an important organization.
We'll be in the streets. We're going to put our money where our mouth is.
Credible, real. Whenever I criticize federal militias that are set up, they go, oh, you're against the militia. No, there's a lot of infiltrated fake militias. This is the real way to relaunch the militia. Well, it's constitutional. I support it, but there have been a lot of that are setups out there.
Right.
That's why Oath Keepers is the place to go.
Well, I wouldn't call us a militia, though. I think militia is everybody in their community. All your neighbors.
How would you describe Oath Keepers?
I would say we are an association of current and former military and police and first responders.
It's like an intel agency for the militia.
Well, we advocate for defense of the Constitution. We want everyone that ever took the oath, whether they're current serving or not, to honor it by defending the Constitution.
Beautiful. We're out of time.
Right.
And tomorrow night's the last day. One bottle of Ultra Methylene Blue. Get a free bottle. Get the free murdered out ball cap. I don't know where it is around here. But we got this limited edition InfoWars murdered out black baseball cap on top of it. TheAlexJonesStore.com. One bottle of Ultra Methylene Blue, liquid or tincture, or the pills, and get a free ball cap. One bottle, get one free. And that's a huge sale, biggest sale ever. Never did that before. That keeps us on air. But whatever happens to InfoWars, because they're close to shutting us down, we have the Alex Jones Network, and the AlexJonesStore.com is owned by that and by Big Land. They fund our operations. So support us right now and get great products, TheAlexJonesStore.com. All right, The War Room with Harrison Smith comes up now. Find the feeds at Real Alex Jones. And we're going to have Stuart Rhodes on with them live right now. Thanks, Stuart.
Hi, brother. God bless.